Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Starting stalled auto sales, Cash for Clunkers is almost out of cash just 4 days after Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood kicked it off with a hard sell.
Good news for consumers' wallets.
This plan was supposed to go to November. It started Monday, and within 4 days, the money was used up.
AutoBeat Daily editor Katie Kerwin is stunned by the news. The White House now reviewing options to keep the program going. From Burlingame, California, KCBS reporter Margie Schaefer has more on why Cash for Clunkers is a victim of its own success.
Auto dealer Mike Harvey says anything that provides an incentive to buy is helpful, but he says his sales were improving before the Cash for Clunkers program began.
It appears now that we probably hit bottom a couple months ago and that it's been improving since then.
Alvin Lee is shopping for a new car, planning to get rid of his 94 Quest and hoping that the program lasts.
To me, it's a big waste of taxpayer money, but if it's there, I'll take it. You know?
Margie Schaefer, CBS News, Burlingame, California.
The president and vice president were there, along with the two men at the heart of an incident that sparked a national controversy. Beers at the White House and an opportunity to talk with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. and Sergeant James Crowley, the Cambridge cop who arrested him at his home 2 weeks before. Afterward, Crowley said it was a worthwhile session.
It was business, but discussing it like two gentlemen instead of fighting it out either in the physical sense or in the mental sense in the court of public opinion. So it was very productive.
President Obama called the meeting a friendly, thoughtful conversation. With time running out before lawmakers take their summer break, the House has okayed new authority for the FDA to oversee the food we eat. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story from Capitol Hill.
This bill would give the FDA more power and resources to make sure domestic and imported food is safe and charge food companies an inspection fee to pay for it. The measure requires more inspections, makes sure the source of contaminated food can be traced more quickly, lets the FDA yank contaminated products off store shelves immediately, and requires food be labeled as to its country of origin.
I'm Barry Bagnato. Healthcare reform compromising is making everyone angry over something. Liberals about the way rates would be set in the House plan. Conservatives fume that after winning an amendment banning Congress from requiring most abortion coverage.
31 ayes, 27 noes, the amendment is agreed to.
Committee Chair Henry Waxman used a parliamentary move to call another vote and defeat it. The issue sparked sharp exchanges here between Washington State Democrat Jay Inslee and Texas Republican Ralph Hall.
The woman ought to have at least as much constitutional right to her own body as a man does to his firearm.
You can't read the Constitution of the United States and anywhere in it even find the word abortion.
On the House floor, there's partisan disagreement over a bill to limit Wall Street bonuses, but Democrats are expected to push it through today. Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
Well, the states are getting billions in stimulus money, but are they spending it on the most urgent projects? Live to CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
One report finds half the bridges getting stimulus money are already in good shape, passing recent inspections with high marks.
Oftentimes they're repairing bridges that are in such good shape, they wouldn't even normally qualify for federal stimulus money.
Matt Apuzzo, who did the analysis for the Associated Press, says difficult and more urgent projects may be getting the short end.
Repaving roads is important, and it does create jobs.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
From Consumer Reports, cooling your home, I'm Reese Sprantz. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have ductwork for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no ductwork. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rude, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Ernie Sprans for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Ladies and gentlemen,
can that be the one, the only,
entertaining? Once upon a time, there was this kid who had a body hair problem, discovered he was a werewolf, and that he had some pretty cool basketball skills. Yep, it's 1985, and Teen Wolf is the movie sensation of the year. Wish you could go back and do it all over again? You can't. Warner Brothers Pictures reportedly have begun the development of a Teen Wolf remake.
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
More beer and less bile. That's the scene from the White House yesterday. That's the message from the White House yesterday. Hey, chill, have a beer, discuss your differences. Instead of calling each other names and dragging people down and locking them up. Hey, hello, everybody. Happy Friday. It is Friday. Friday, July 31, and so good to see you today. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Bill Press Show. The weekend starts right here, but we got a lot to cover before we let you off into the weekend. A lot about health care and a lot about the Beer Summit last night here on this Friday edition of the Bill Press Show. Coming to you live from our little radio factory here on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And thank you for being part of the program. 866-55-PRESS. If you want to weigh in at any time on any of the topics of the day, 866-55-77-377. As always, lots of goodies for you on the website. Lots of work for you to do on the website. We need to keep the pressure on those Senate Democrats. Yeah, they're voting like Republicans, who have not yet come out in support of a public plan option. Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas has seen the light. She has committed to a public plan option. We have taken her name off the list. We're looking carefully at Senator Maria Cantwell, and her name may be coming
off
the list.
May be coming
today.
Off shortly. We're working hard to get her on the show next week to explain her position,
yes.
But we're hearing some different conflicting things.
So she's getting pretty close, it looks like. And we also have the link up for you to put pressure on the blue dogs, so-called blue dog Democrats, and tell them to start supporting a strong public plan option in the House. Got to work on both sides of this. All of that at BillPressShow.com. Plus, this week's column, my column this week posted up there, in case you don't see it in your local newspaper, and this week's column is on the whole birth certificate crisis, the title being Born in a Manger in Honolulu.
Yep. Love it.
So, Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton, White House Press Secretary, Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton is going to join us a little bit later. We'll kick off the hour with Majority Leader Steny Hoyer from the House. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news, an agreement has been reached for custody of Michael Jackson's kids. It'll be his mother, Catherine, who's going to take care of the late musician's three children, while Debbie Rowe, the biological mother of the two oldest, will get visitation rights but no additional money. The kids range in age from 7 to 12. The grandmother is 79.
Yeah, 79. She's getting control of those three kids, custody of those three kids.
trouble.
Black Eyed Peas have smashed a longtime Billboard record. The music group has now logged more consecutive weeks at number one on the Hot 100 than any other duo or group in the 51-year history of the chart. I Got a Feeling is in at number one for the fifth week in a row now, following a 12-week run at the top with Boom Boom Pow. Boys to Men held the previous record with two 16-week number one runs back in the mid-90s.
I'm going to have to add them to my iPhone.
Yeah, when I think of great duos and groups, I think of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and the Black Eyed Peas with Boom Boom Pow.
In an age where many of us are trying to be more green, what companies are the best to patronize to do so? The latest global green brand survey gives us the most environmentally conscious, starting with Clorox's Greenworks division, followed by Burt's Bees, Tom's of Maine, they make the toothpaste, SC Johnson, Toyota, Procter & Gamble,
Toyota,
and Walmart. Yes, one of the greenest companies out there.
Did you just say Walmart?
I did. Number six on the
Lord
list.
Have mercy. Yeah. Times, they are changing.
Notice McDonald's is not on.
Yeah, right.
All right, 10 minutes after the hour, a lot of activity just down the street here at the United States Capitol building, both in the House and in the Senate, on health care. The House trying to get that bill out of the, at least out of the Energy and Commerce Committee before they take a break, if not off the House floor. And over in the Senate Finance Committee, still working with that committee of six to come up with their proposal together with the Senate Help Committee. So will we see a bill out of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and will we see a vote on the House floor? Nobody knows that better than our guest, the number two most powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives, Majority Leader and good friend of the program, Steny Hoyer from the state of Maryland. Congressman, good morning, Mr. Leader.
Good morning, Bill. Good to be with you, as always.
I haven't talked to you in a while. Good to have you back. Let me ask you, before we get into health care, I'm very curious about this Cash for Clunkers program. So they launched it last Monday. I thought it was a great program, and now they've already run out of money.
You know, the irony is, Bill, some people said, oh, no, this program won't work. It won't get people.
Right.
People aren't going to go out and buy cars. Well, not only has it worked, but it's been an extraordinarily popular success. And we've moved. I'm just extrapolating on what I think is the possibility of over 200,000 cars in that period of time, which in a market of 10 million sales is a tremendous boost for the economy and for the automobile companies and for their employees, and puts us in a position of thinking we'll get some money back pretty soon, hopefully. But
do you think the administration,
we're going to have to consider today, Bill, whether we're going to put, if we can get agreement, we'll probably have to do it by agreement between the parties to infuse some additional money in the program, which has been, as I say, much more successful than anybody thought, and keep this energy going.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, whether the administration can do this through the stimulus money or do they need an act of Congress to,
well,
put more money in the program.
As late as last night around 11 o'clock, I was on the phone with the White House figuring out what we could do, and we'll be working on it this morning. I talked to Secretary LaHood yesterday as well, so we'll be working this morning. As a matter of fact, we've been working this morning to see what we can do. We'll try to get agreement between the Republicans and ourselves to see if there's a possibility of moving forward.
But
either in terms of, as you suggest, the administration transferring some money from existing programs, mm-hmm. or us giving them an additional authority to transfer some money.
But the general thrust is to find a way to keep it going.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So successful, and you know, that's obviously got to get a shot in the arm.
Well, good. Yeah, keep it going, because I didn't get my clunker in yet. You know, I got. I got to
get away from you, lobbyist.
I got to get it fixed so I can drive it, at least drive it to the dealership, because that's one of the requirements. You can't push it there or tow it there. You got to be able to drive it there.
It's for clunkers, not junkers.
Yeah. All right. Now, Mr. Leader, are we going to get this bill out of the Energy and Commerce Committee before the break?
The Energy and Commerce Committee, again, we were here late last night, ended its business around 1 o'clock, and the report I got this morning was that they think there's a good possibility they're going to be able to pass the bill out this afternoon, maybe late, but this afternoon, with the majority of votes. So it looks like, and I'm very confident and optimistic, that the bill will pass out of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which will mean that it's passed out of all three committees here in the House. And then we'll spend the month of August looking at the differences, staff and members will be working on how to bring that together. Members, as you've heard, are going to be all over the country educating people as to what is in the bill or the bills, and garnering from the public their views on this. It's obviously a complicated subject. A lot of demagoguery has been on the street about it. A lot of people have been misled, in my opinion, about what this bill does. What it really is intended to do is to give confidence that you're going to have health coverage you can count on in the long term, and that all Americans will be involved in the process. So,
you mentioned just something. You mentioned the August recess.
Yeah.
And what the Democrats are going to be doing is no doubt what the Republicans are going to be doing either. Here is the minority leader, John Boehner, yesterday talking about how they, if you got that clip there, how they have, how they plan to use the August recess, or what their hopes are at any rate.
I think it's safe to say that over the August recess, as more Americans learn more about their plan, they're likely to have a very, very hot summer.
So there's no doubt they're going to be spreading poison through the entire month of August.
Well, there's no doubt about that. When it came to adopting Medicare, some people say it was done on a bipartisan basis, and that's true. But even back in 1965, when the parties weren't quite as polarized, not quite, they weren't as polarized as they are today, on the motion to recommit, which was to send the bill back to committee, all but four Republicans voted for it. So, frankly, the Republicans have really taken the position that Frank Luntz gave them, that you got to defeat this program, because if it passes and Americans find out that they've got health care security, they're going to be really have a very positive view, and the Republicans think that won't be good for them. It'll be good for the American public, but they don't believe it'll be good for them. So they're going to be out both, as they have been, I think, giving misinformation and trying to oppose this program. But the American public, by significant numbers, have indicated they believe that health care reform is essential. They know that costs are going up too much. They know that when they lose their job, they're at risk of losing their insurance. They know that the insurance companies are imposing pre-existing conditions and copays and caps that are putting them at real risk. They know they need insurance reform, and they know they need the 47 million people who are getting health care but who are not paying into any kind of insurance is on their ticket. When they pay their premium dollar, they're subsidizing those folks, and they know that's not fair, and it's not economically smart. So I think they're going to, when they see what this program does, they're going to say, yes, this is a step forward.
This is Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, our guest here on the Bill Press Show on this Friday morning. But, Mr. Leader, the real differences in the House appear not to be so much between Democrats and Republicans as between Democrats and Democrats. I've got a copy of a letter I know you've seen from the Progressive Caucus, and about an hour ago, Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey was our guest here on the program, and she has said that the progressives, and there are 84 of them in that caucus, are not going to vote for the bill on the floor if it looks like the deal that was made between Henry Waxman and the Blue Dog Democrats, which weakened the public plan option.
Well, the irony, Bill, is...
So how are you going to resolve this?
Well, the irony, as I said, the deal that you refer to looks very much like the bill that passed out of Senator Kennedy's committee.
The HELP committee?
Which many of the HELP committee, the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions committee, headed up by Senator Kennedy, the provisions of that bill are very, very similar to the compromise that was reached with Chairman Waxman and a number of members of his committee who happen to be Blue Dogs.
Does it have a public plan option in it?
It has a public plan option in, just like, as a matter of fact, it mirrors the Kennedy language. So very ironic that some of our progressives are saying they won't vote for that. And I think that they will, over time, hopefully, come to a different view when we come back in September and have to vote on this. Obviously, it won't be on the floor because we haven't passed it in time to get the work done to bring these three bills together that is necessary and to score it properly and to make sure that we've done it right, not just done it quickly. So, as I say, people are going to have 6 weeks to look at this, take a breath, and know that the substance of where we want to go, which all Democrats agree on, which is why I think it's really, although the the debate in the recent days have been between how you get there on the Democratic side. On the Democratic side, there is no question that everybody, from progressives to blue dogs and everybody in between, want to get there. And getting there means giving to all Americans health care they can count on. And everybody that I know of in our caucus wants to vote for health care reform.
Now, in the final question, I guess, is how are we going to pay for it? And I know the original, the bills that came out of the first two committees have these, I believe, still the surtax on the wealthiest of Americans. The Speaker said she wanted to put that up from $350,000 to $500,000 for individuals, a million for families. Is that still the best plan to go forward?
That's still the plan on the House side, yes. Now, there are a lot of different proposals on the Senate side, and there have been different proposals over here. And, Bill, that is, number one, we've committed this bill is going to be paid for. It's not going to add to the debt.
Right.
Secondly, it's going to be paid for in a way that impacts adversely the smallest number of Americans and does not impose any additional costs on middle-income working Americans. They're stretched as it is. But it is going to ask those the wealthiest Americans to help a little bit in getting us to this objective that I think the country believes it needs to get to. So that option is in our bill, but there are other options in this and on the Senate side, and there's going to be a lot of discussion between now and when this bill passes conference and we send it to the president on exactly how is the best way to fund it.
Well,
it's going to be paid for.
Mr. Leader, you've got a lot of work to do today on health care and cash for clunkers. We'll let you go and get back to work.
Bill, thanks a lot.
Doing the work of the people. Thanks so much.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Majority Leader Steny Hoyer there indicating, he says, that the difference between the progressives and the blue dogs is not as great as they pretend, and that I'm going to check that out, that the compromise reached by Henry Waxman with the blue dogs is just as good, he says, as the bill passed by Chris Dodd and Tom Harkin from the Senate Help Committee. I hadn't heard that before. That's worth checking out. The Bill Press Show, Steny Hoyer.
This is the Bill Press Show. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Did you know the tap water in your home may be hazardous? Not to your health, but to your appliances and your wallet. Your home's hard water creates pipe clogging lime scale, and that can shorten the life of your water heater, ruin your dishwasher, and break down your washing machine. Lime scale deposits block the heating element, which costs you up to 25% more. That's an extra $1,200 a year in energy and wear. But you can remove lime scale without chemicals, magnets, or salts. It's easy with HydroCare, the patented device from Wave Home Solutions. See for yourself at goodwaternow.com. You simply clip HydroCare to your main water pipe. HydroCare removes and prevents limescale buildup in your entire plumbing system, guaranteed. If your home has hard water, extend the life of your appliances with HydroCare. Just go to goodwaternow.com. Lower your energy costs. Visit goodwaternow.com. That's goodwaternow.com. Goodwaternow.com.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-914-5076. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-914-5076. 1-800-914-5076. That's 1-800-914-5076.
AM76.
From Consumer Reports, an ebook showdown. I'm Ernie Sprantz. If you're shopping for an ebook reader, as in portable electronic text display, two brands dominate, Sony and Amazon. For the July issue, Consumer Reports compared the Amazon Kindle 2 and Sony Reader PRS 700BC. To start, the Sony requires you to install software on your PC. It's not Mac compatible, and connect via USB to download new content. The Kindle is wireless, connecting automatically and at no extra cost to your Amazon.com account. It took an hour or so to set up the Sony, about 5 minutes for the Kindle. Both have a 6-inch black and white screen. Reading in a range of light conditions is generally fine, though on the Kindle, type and images are rendered more crisply and accurately. As far as navigation, the Sony has a slight edge. Its touchscreen made navigating content easier than with the Kindle's 5-way joystick. The only toss-up is the availability of titles. The Kindle store has 270 titles and counting, far more than Sony's e-book store. And bestsellers cost $9.99, a few bucks less than Sony's usual price. But Sony allows access to 500,000 free public domain titles. The bottom line? The Kindle is easier to use and more versatile. The Sony, worth considering for its touchscreen and nightlight. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of Idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a 9th season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January. .net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It's the Friday edition of the Bill Press Show, coming to you live coast to coast. And you know what that means? Yes, every Friday we take you through our very favorite clips of the week. Working our way from the bottom all the way up to the top. And we kick off with, last night's beer summit. Colbert tells us what it was really all about.
Number five.
Now, Obama's solution is to invite Professor Gates and Officer Crowley to the White House to do beer bongs off the Resolute desk. His plan is to get them so drunk that they no longer see each other through the lens of racism, but through beer goggles.
Yeah, people were afraid Crowley might get so drunk last night that he'd arrest Obama. Meanwhile, at the White House press briefing, I made the clips of the week here with my question to Robert Gibbs.
Number four.
Robert, I hate to bring this up, but somebody has to. Is there anything you can say that will make the birthers go away?
No.
No, and they won't go away. And Haley Barbour, Governor of Mississippi, wants to know, why the rush? What's the rush on health care?
Number three.
There is no use in rushing this through artificially when there are so many concerns on a bipartisan basis.
Ooh, Glenn Beck. Yeah, Glenn Beck. Over the top, as always. What do you expect from Fox News on President Obama? Here's his take on the beer summit.
Number two.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. This guy is, I believe, a racist.
Yeah, I think Glenn Beck's got a problem. And Sarah Palin loves that Alaskan scenery.
Number one.
Soaring through nature's finest show. Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun. And then the extremes. In the wintertime, it's the frozen road that is competing with the view of ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chichacos from the sourdoughs?
She's as crazy as a bedbug. Bill Burton coming up next.
Is the Bill Press Show.
Attention, Dr. Heisen is currently seeking participants who have severe headaches. If you have one or more headaches per month, if you've been diagnosed with migraine or tension headaches, or experience nausea and light sensitivity along with your headaches, you are eligible to receive a free trial of Dr. Heisen's headache system. After 10 years of intensive research, it has been discovered that this medical breakthrough can relieve even the most severe headaches in just minutes, without pills or side effects. Now you can participate in a free 30-day trial of this headache-fighting discovery free just by calling today. today. Previously available only to his patients, Dr. Heisen's headache system is now available for a limited time to headache sufferers in your area. So if you or someone you know would benefit from headache relief in just minutes without pain pills or their side effects, you are eligible to participate in this exclusive free trial of Dr. Heisen's headache system. Call this number and find out how to get your free trial. 800-928-1317. That number again is 800-928-1317. 800-928-1317.
Hi, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
The Northeast Interstate is quiet right now.
All of the things you expect from this radio station, traffic, free music, support for community events and causes, are in danger. If Congress passes the performance tax, go to SaveYourRadio.org and tell your congressman to just say no to the performance tax and support the Local Radio Freedom Act. A message from this station and the NAB.
Hello?
If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're full, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothen, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally!
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothen and get one free.
County residents, did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You could save as much as $40,000. Learn how Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000 more just by attending this event. RSVP at solaripsc.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts. Safe retirement question number 18. Do you know how much of your IRA isn't yours? Stop gambling with your retirement dollars. Tune into the It's Time to Cover Your Assets show, Saturday afternoons at 12:30, right here on AM 760.
When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community. We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era.
Is the Bill Press Show.
33 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show on this Friday, July 31. Hope to connect here any minute with, any second, with Deputy White House Press Secretary Bill Burton. The big activity down at the White House yesterday. I was at the White House briefing, and hey, by the way, for the White House briefs, I have agreed, it took me a long time, but I finally agreed that I will Twitter, but only from the White House. So if you want to follow those tweets from the White House briefings any day that I'm down there, go to our website, BillPressShow.com. Under today's links, you can sign up to follow my tweets from the White House. Is that's right?
This is a huge step for you.
I know it is. No, you don't realize. I've
never met anyone
publicly sworn that I would never, never, ever, ever tweet. And then
But yeah, the thing is, a lot of people ask if we were Twittering or tweeting, and a lot of people know that you go down to the White House. So this is more of caving to the popular demand and as opposed to just getting on the Twitter page.
But I want everybody to know I'm not a complete sellout, but only for the White House press briefings or other activities at the White House. And yesterday, all the talk at the briefing was about a couple of questions on health care, but almost all the questions were about the beer summit that was going to happen last night. Well, it has happened. It is now over. What was the significance of it? First of all, I have to say, I thought the media was out of control on this beer summit. They made it like Camp David, you know, I mean, as if it was that important. CNN had 5 different live cameras at 6 o'clock in different corners of the White House, in the briefing room and outside and at the front gate and all over, just so they could capture any activity around the White House. Most of the time there was no activity, but they just showed the shot, you know. And MSNBC actually had a countdown clock all afternoon, counting down till 6 p.m. when they were going to sit around the table. Also on CNN, they had, you know, this, you know, the big thing that they use for the elections, that board, you know, where they can show maps and pictures and everything. I forget what they call that thing. John King usually runs it. And they were showing where the table was outside of the Oval Office, and making a big deal of the fact that originally they were going to sit at this picnic table, right? But now they were sitting at this little round table instead of at the wooden picnic table, and what the significance of that was. It was crazy. And what happened was, you know, you had 3 guys joined by the vice president, but 3 guys who, each of whom overreacted a couple of weeks ago over this incident up in Cambridge. And the 3 guys decided, you know, to get together and talk about it, which I thought was great. And they sat around that table, joined by the vice president, had a beer, and just talked it out. You know, and I'm sure as the president indicated, there was no particular agenda. They didn't expect to solve all the issues related to racial profiling at the same time, but they did get together. They did sit around the table. And if you notice the video, because the photographers were allowed to capture the scene right at the very beginning, if you notice the guy who was walking across with the tray carrying the beer mugs, and you wondered who that was, well, that was the Deputy White House Secretary Bill Burton.
Bill, that was not me.
Who joins us on the phone this morning.
Bill, that was another guy. You got the wrong man.
That's what you get for being 3 minutes late this morning.
Oh, apologies. All apologies.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We've had a lot to talk about, particularly about healthcare this morning and about the beer summit. So from the White House's point of view, looking at last night's event, mission accomplished?
Well, you know, the president didn't have high expectations of, you know, a whole lot coming out of this other than a good conversation, and that's what he had.
I think
the media spent a lot of time overhyping this. I saw a lot of countdown clocks.
Oh, I know. It was crazy.
Pictures of previous White House summits, and it was just a conversation between a couple of guys who had a disagreement last week, and I think they're going to talk some more, and it's positive that they're even having the conversation.
I know they're going to talk some more. The Sergeant Crowley last night said that they've actually talked about it at the next meeting. They're going to talk on the phone and set that up. Is there any talk that the president will be involved in any future meetings, or was that sort of it with the 3 of them?
I think that other folks are going to take this torch and run with it. The president's got a couple other things on his mind, like the economy and healthcare, that he's going to be focused on here.
Now, did you happen to meet the Sergeant Crowley or Professor Gates yesterday when they were doing their little White House tour?
I sure did, yeah.
And did you sense any animosity between them?
No. In fact, I went...
Where'd you meet them? Tell us about that.
Over in the east wing of the White House as they were on the tour.
Of the mansion or the whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right. And so I went over to the library where everybody was hanging out. And, you know, the funny thing was when I walked over there, Gates and Crowley were standing together alone with Larry Summers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh, right. I didn't expect to see over there, but
former,
here we are.
Former president of Harvard, I'm sure most of our listeners know. Right.
That's right. So.
And former president of Cambridge.
Is that right?
Yeah, of course. He lived there, you know, when he was president of Harvard. That's
right. Oh, sure, sure.
Right.
So, you know, it was very warm. People were very cordial. Crowley's got a very firm handshake, obviously. And
yeah.
I think that overall we're happy to just be moving past this on to talk about the economy and healthcare.
Let's talk about healthcare. The House goes home today. The Senate goes home at the end of next week. Is the president disappointed that they are going to leave town without passing healthcare reform legislation?
No, the president's very encouraged that they've been able to make so much progress. If you look at where the House and the Senate Health Committee have ended up, they're about 80% the same. The Senate Finance Committee has continued to show progress. And the president's view is that as long as we continue to march towards getting this done by the end of the year, we're in good shape. And if you look at what Charles Grassley has had to say, if you look at what Max Baucus has had to say, people are sitting down as honest brokers, committed to reform, and the president is encouraged by that.
Well, I have looked at what Chuck Grassley has had to say and what Max Baucus has had to say, and by the way, they both have said, we're not going to vote for any public plan option, and that's been the president's number one priority. He has said we need a public plan option so we can have competition and so we can give consumers more choice. So they're going in the exact opposite direction of the president. How can you call that progress?
I think that everybody who's sitting around the table working on reform right now shares not just choice as a top goal, but also bringing down costs and making sure that everybody has access to affordable health care. And when you take choice, cost reduction, and access all together, the president thinks that all the different proposals are trying to get at those in somewhat different ways. And, you know, we're not at the point of this where we're excluding people from sitting down at the table to talk about it because they've got a different way to get at those ultimate goals than other folks.
Right.
We're still listening to everybody, and as it comes out of the Senate Finance Committee and out of the Senate, we're going to be able to have a conversation about exactly what we need to do in order to achieve those top priorities.
Our guest again is Deputy White House Secretary Bill Burton here on the Bill Press Show. But Bill, even at down in, as recently as a couple of days ago down in Raleigh, North Carolina, the president again reaffirmed his support for a public plan option, not run by the insurance companies, you know, not these co-ops or anything. So is that still his preference?
Yeah, absolutely. The president definitely thinks that that's the best way to achieve the kind of cost reduction and choices that the American people are looking for. He thinks it'll spur competition, and it'll be able to keep the insurance companies honest as it relates to how much they're charging for different aspects of care.
Now,
there are other ways to get at that, and he's willing to talk to anybody who's got a good idea and comes to the table honestly looking to find a good solution. And he thinks that we're having a good conversation about it.
All right. Now, we go into this August recess, and there's no doubt with the other side. They're already starting to run some ads, and John Boehner yesterday was saying, you know, that look, they're going to use this month of August to try to kill any health reform legislation, no doubt about it. My question to you is, we know the president's going to take a week off, and nobody begrudges him that, but for the rest of the time in August, is he going to keep up this full court press on health care? Will there continue to be town meetings? Is he going to continue to keep the pressure on and make it a priority? What are the plans for August, I guess, is the question.
You're going to continue to see the president around the country, and he'll be talking about the economy. He'll be talking about health care. He'll be working the phones with members of Congress. But, you know, I think August is a time when people do sort of dial down some of the attention that goes on to some of these serious issues. And you and your colleagues in the media will probably be covering it a little bit less. So the president will remain committed to it and will keep working on it. But I do think that the amount of attention on it will be a little less likely.
It was either in Bristol, Virginia, or Raleigh, North Carolina, I wasn't on the trip, where he said, if any lawmaker wants to come down here and go through this bill line by line with me, I'm ready to do it. Have you had any takers yet?
Not that I know of. But, you know, I think he was saying that sort of as a joke in response to a question that somebody had about whether or not lawmakers were reading the bill and whether or not everybody who was a part of the debate was familiar with what was going on in the bill.
Well, I guess, I'm sorry,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess if they want to do it, we know there's a little round table in the Rose Garden available here. And
we got a bunch of beer left over. So please come on by.
All right. Hey, Bill, thanks so much for taking time for us this morning. I'll see you a little bit later down the White House.
Talk to you, Bill.
All right. Bill Burton, Deputy White House Secretary, does a good job there. Second in command with Robert Gibbs.
The only morning show giving you exclusive access to the White House. You're listening to The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. We're so far into debt.
All we do is fight about it.
We don't know what to do anymore.
How would you like to get a call finding out that your Visa bill had been reduced from $8,000 to $4,800? What about discovering you had an extra $500 to $1,200 in your budget per month because of what you are saving on your credit card bills? All of these dreams are possible when you make 1 5-minute call to Jordan McKenna. They will match you to a reputable law firm that can stop harassing collection calls, reduce your monthly payments, and save you literally thousands of dollars off your credit card debt. They work for you, not the credit card company, so you can get the maximum savings possible for your situation. Call for free information now. 800-204-6773. Individual results will vary, so please review all program details and terms. Call 800-204-6773. That's 800-204-6773. 800-204-6773.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Still a breeze getting around the metro if you're heading out this Friday morning. Just the normal jams on I-20.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Presenting the one, the only.
Entertaining. 30 Rock is leading the way at this year's Emmys. The Tina Fey comedy, which is set behind the scenes of a fictional TV show, has been nominated for a wonderful award, beating off competition from shows including The Office, Family Guy, Mad Men, and Flight of the Conchords. The ceremony will take place in L.A. on September 20th.
Showbiz Reports, some common camera goofs. I'm Ernie Spranz. As part of a test of digital cameras for the July issue, Consumer Reports surveyed some 8,200 online subscribers about the care and feeding of their digital cameras. Many failed to make the best use of their new point-and-shoots. 66% didn't regularly clean the camera lens. You should clean the lens before each use. This minimizes the risk of focusing problems and blurry areas on pictures. 45% left photos in their camera for at least a month. Photo files should be copied to a backup device, like a hard drive, soon after capture. This reduces the risk of theft or deletion. 39% didn't know whether the camera had scene modes, image stabilization, face detection, or burst mode. These features make shooting easier and can improve your photos, so check the manual for features you may be unaware of. 28% of those surveyed told us they cleaned the lens with a shirt sleeve, household tissue, or canned air. You should clean your lens gently with a microfiber lens cloth and lens cleaning fluid. This way, you won't scratch or otherwise damage the surface. And finally, for those upgrading to a newer camera, 13% disposed of their old camera in the trash. If possible, sell your current camera, give it away, or recycle it. I'm Ernie Sprint for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
This is the Bill Press Show.
All right, we go into the weekend here, 12 minutes to go before the top of the hour of the House of Representatives. Going home today with their work undone, as we heard from Majority Leader Hoyer at the top of the hour, the Energy and Commerce Committee will probably today get its health care, its version of health care reform legislation passed. That means all three House committees will have passed a bill by the end of the day. Then they'll go off recess for recess, hopefully spend some time reviewing all three measures and come back and vote on it in September. And on the Senate side, they may not even make that much progress. The Senate Finance Committee, Max Baucus, is indicating yesterday they're not even sure they'll be able to get a bill out of their committee by the recess. Meanwhile, also on the political front, just looking over a couple of the other stories that we haven't had a chance to mention this morning. Over in across the river in Alexandria, Virginia, Dollar Bill's biting his nails. Dollar Bill, former Congressman William Jefferson, the jury is deliberating his fate. Of course, Dollar Bill's the guy that was caught by the FBI with $90,000 in his freezer down in New Orleans. Of course, his defense is that he didn't want the value of his cash to melt, so that's why he kept it in the freezer.
Naturally,
right? Yeah, that's what you do with it. I don't think that guy's got much of a chance of staying out of prison. We'll see what the jury comes up with. Meantime, on the other side of the aisle, a little Republican hypocrisy. Yeah, what else is new? To point out another Republican hypocrite has bit the dust over a sexual affair. This is down in Tennessee. Republican State Senator Paul Stanley has quit the Tennessee State Senate after it was revealed that he was having an extramarital affair with a 22-year-old intern. He is 47. Paul Stanley, best known maybe in the state legislature because he had opposed any funding for Planned Parenthood because he said that unmarried people should not have sex. Right. Unmarried people should not have sex except with Republican elected officials. Here we go. Another Mark Sanford, another John Ensign, another Mike Pickering. They go on and on and on and on and on. Republican hypocrite of a little different stripe, Pete Sessions. Pete Sessions is the head of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, and he is a warrior against earmarks. In fact, if you go to his website, Pete Sessions says on his website that earmarks are a symbol of a broken Washington to the American people. Well, you got to be careful if you are so anti-earmarks when you are looking for and introducing earmarks of your own. Thanks to Politico, they broke the story yesterday that Pete Sessions from Texas steered a $1.6 million earmark to an Illinois company for research into dirigibles. I don't know. Did you say dirigibles? Some people I've heard that said. I call them dirigibles. But
I just call them Zeppelins.
Oh, you call them? Yes.
Yes.
Right. Hindenburg. I mean, the idea that today you'd be doing research in dirigibles is like crazy. And it just so happens that not only did he give this earmark to a company in Illinois to research dirigible research, but the company in Illinois has never had a federal contract before, doesn't know anything about doing work for the federal government. But they did have as their lobbyist a former top aide to Pete Sessions. And Pete Sessions' office defended this earmark for the dirigible research, saying this is going to mean a lot of jobs for members of his district, a lot of jobs for people in Texas. The problem is, again, that the company is located in Illinois. There are no Texans at work, or at least there are no jobs. No, none of the plant is in Texas at all.
And you can keep your corruption out of Illinois, mister. That is one clean state.
The last thing they need is more corruption in Illinois. And finally, you want to know what's happening with Sarah Palin? Well, apparently she's been shopping a radio deal, and we say this with some pride, that she went first to the company that owns more radio stations than any other, Clear Channel. We are carried at this very moment on many Clear Channel stations around the country and proud to be there. And Clear Channel has told Sarah Palin, thanks,
no!
But no thanks.
No!
No, no, no. We ain't interested in you, Sarah Palin, and the reason is because they don't think she'd be able to spend 3 hours behind the microphone and still have anything left to say. I'll be back with a parting shot.
The official morning show of the Obama generation.
The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Mom, I need your help with math.
How can I help?
I just don't get it.
Well, let me see.
Huh, I don't remember how to do these either.
I'll never pass!
Sound familiar? Test pressures and fear of failing grades haunt many students. As a parent, you want to help, but you're at a loss when it comes to today's math. How can you help your child without spending on pricey learning centers or expensive private tutors? Now there's a proven solution with a Math Made Easy tutorial system designed to improve test scores and get rid of those math test anxieties forever. Summer is the perfect time to strengthen students' math skills and give them a head start on next year's math. Top-notch teachers will coach your child in how to break down math problems into the five essential steps, which will enable your child to master math in almost no time. Best of all, Math Made Easy is affordable for nearly everyone. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call us now to get your free trial. Call 866-507-MATH. That's 866-507-MATH.
Hello?
From Consumer Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Reese Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m., or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf, tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or after 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis, you'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning or late, like after 9 at night. Movies, matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants. Even some high-end places now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
The one, the only. Entertaining.
Harry Potter has been defeated. Disney's new G-Force movie has snatched the number one spot from Potter thanks to opening weekend box office sales of around $32.2 million. The movie mixes live action with animation and features the voice of stars including Nicolas Cage and Penelope Cruz. The Half-Blood Prince came in second with earnings of around $30 million.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Friday, July 31, my parting shot for today, the Beer Summit is over. And what was achieved? Well, certainly not as much as the breathless cable news anchors predicted. I mean, CNN alone had five live cameras covering every corner of the White House. All afternoon, MSNBC ran a countdown clock until the meeting began. And Fox News bemoaned the fact that the woman who made the 911 call wasn't invited to the Beer Fest either. So, talk about exaggerated expectations. Over just one cold beer, the networks expected all gangs to turn in their weapons, all fugitives to surrender, all illegal immigrants to voluntarily leave the country, and all racial discord to disappear. Well, of course, it didn't quite turn out that way. But the absence of miracles should not diminish the significance of the Rose Garden gathering. The most important thing about it all, not to be overlooked, is the fact that it happened. I mean, after an ugly confrontation between a black professor and a white policeman, who would have thought that 10 days later the professor and the policeman would sit down with the president and vice president of the United States for a beer and agree to meet again and continue the conversation? Yet that meeting did take place, and that itself is a teachable moment and a wonderful example for all the rest of us Americans. We can make a lot more progress through better communication than through bitter confrontation. My parting shot for today, folks. Off we go into the weekend. Make it a great one. Relax. Have a beer. Come on back and see us on Monday.
This is the Bill Press Show.
People who suffer from drug or alcohol addiction sometimes say hurtful things.
Mm-hmm.
Where's My California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over 1 million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
Older and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Is it over yet? Maybe.
There is a very good chance that the recession has, in fact, ended.
Wells Fargo economist Mark Fitner says a government report that's just been released is a positive sign. It shows first quarter business activity shrank at an annual rate of just 1%. That's way down from 6.4%, a free fall during the first quarter. The economy has a long way to go, but does seem to be turning the corner.
Inventories are now exceptionally lean. And that means that the stage is set for a rebound in production in the second half of the year.
Cash for clunkers. What a concept.
People are loving it. It's wonderful. It's a great stimulus package.
Car dealers say the chance to snatch a government rebate by trading an old gas guzzler for a high-mileage new car has touched off a showroom stampede to the point where the billion-dollar federal program is tapped out just days after it began. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
The Department of Transportation and the White House are looking for another source of funding for this program. They had $1 billion. They said it's essentially used up. So it's not clear at this point whether they will find the money and where they will find it.
The White House says anyone who's already bought a car and qualifies for a rebate will get it. The Associated Press looked at how states have been spending economic stimulus money earmarked for transit projects and found that thousands of bridges that are falling apart have been ignored in favor of easier bridge and road paving projects. Danielle Bryan, who heads a government watchdog group, says states just weren't ready to take on more ambitious work.
When you're talking about something shovel-ready, that means a lot of money has already been spent and time has been spent planning with engineers and planners exactly what needs to be done in order to repair these bridges. And that money hadn't existed before.
Americans are getting so big, one ambulance company may keep a forklift on call. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnato, a forklift?
Forklifts have been used before to move extremely obese patients from their homes. The Omaha World Herald reports Lincoln, Nebraska is considering putting one and a construction crane on standby. More than a quarter of the people in the state are considered obese. Omaha's fire chief says his crews handle a 400-pound-plus patient every few days. Around the country, emergency crews have been upgrading ambulances and stretchers to accommodate the growing need. Frank?
The Endeavour shuttle crew could be on the ground in less than 2 hours. Live to CBS's Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center.
The weather's looking pretty good. Just a few small storm cells to the southeast, but NASA's hoping they stay away. And if everything holds, Endeavour will fire its engines to start the ride home in about 40 minutes. The astronauts have been told to drink up to keep from getting dehydrated and disoriented on the way down. That's a good sign for the first landing opportunity. Touchdown planned just before 11 Eastern time. Frank?
Would you turn down a chance to meet the Pope? Well, Michael Phelps did.
Michael Phelps.
Phelps was among 100 swimmers invited to see the Pope tomorrow. He said he'd rather rest up for a big race tomorrow night. Just ahead of the bell, S&P futures are down 2 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, aren't you Mr. Opportunity?
That's me. Actually, I'm just here to help. Take this Honda Civic. Not only is it from America's greenest automaker, but it's also the most durable, longest-lasting car in its class.
Really? Hey, mind if I take our picture?
Sure. The 2009 Honda Clearance. It's the only thing from Honda that won't last. I'm Mr. Opportunity, and I'm knocking.
Greenest Automaker Award based on a recent U.S. emissions study by the Union of Concerned Scientists. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on Earl Polk & Company U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 through 2007 for Civic and competing models.
This year, Discovery Channel's Shark Week puts fear back in the water.
1 minute she was there, the next second she was gone.
And with more attacks, more stories.
It was freaking huge. She came by like a submarine.
And more survivors.
I can still hear that scream.
It'll be over before you know it.
Here it comes, get ready.
Shark Week, fear returns. Sunday at 9. It's all new on Discovery.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. A wild high-speed chase on I-25. It began in Colorado Springs and went all the way to Plum Creek Parkway in Castle Rock. The suspected car was cornered in a construction area beside the highway.
One of our officers was able to get out of his way. He rammed the other car, which was the deputy's car.
Castle Rock Police Chief Tony Lane says that deputy is okay. The suspect, a 23-year-old man driving a stolen car. Southwest Airlines is seeking to trump a rival bid and acquire Frontier Airlines. A court had already approved the sale of Frontier Holdings to the parent company of Republic Airways for nearly $109 million. That deal, though, can be nixed if a better offer comes along. And in sports, the Rockies split a doubleheader yesterday with the Mets. They're in Cincinnati tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now, Aaron O'Neill with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Beat the heat. Keystone Resort has two incredible golf courses and great daily rates. Golf and lodging packages starting from $143. Plus, enjoy a free 9 holes of golf on the afternoon of arrival when you stay with them. Visit golfkeystone.com for more details.
Introducing Ally Bank's 9-month no-penalty CD with a great interest rate of 1.9% APY. Just to make that perfectly clear, that's a no-penalty CD. No penalty for early withdrawal, medium, or late withdrawal. No extra fees, forfeiture, and no fine print anywhere. Just a high-interest 9-month no-penalty CD that lets you move all your money anytime, anywhere. It doesn't get more straightforward than that. Call Ally at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Really progressing it.
We progress it.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Finally, the sun is out. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, and I am in a better mood than I was yesterday. Because I have a developing case of seasonal mood disorder. So the sun is fine. I know. Well, I'm psyched today. The sun is out. You can see the mountains. There's some blue sky out there. Probably going to take my bike out this weekend. Very psyched. And I'm also going to get a... very psyched about this. I'm getting a massage at the end of the day. My wife, Emily, had a couple of gifts that we got from folks over the years for a massage, and we're going to use them, and I'm going to get a massage at the end of the day. So I'm very, very, very psyched about that. A lot of news today, a lot about health care. We're going to be talking in this broadcast to, we got a couple of great guests, actually three great guests. We're going to be talking to the State Commissioner of Education, Dwight Jones, about that education report. We'll be talking to Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. And we're going to be talking to Tim Jackson, President of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, about that Cash for Clunkers program, how you may be able to cash in, although the program is now facing some turbulence because it is so popular, it may be running out of money. So that is coming up in the broadcast. First, let's do our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Well, let's start with national news. A lot of healthcare news, as can be expected. The House Energy and Commerce Committee resumed work Thursday on major healthcare legislation, voting to establish a government-run health insurance plan. Top Republicans stepped up their criticism. This story in the New York Times is a little misleading. The Blue Dogs, the conservative Democrats, those seven conservative Democrats who've been taking the bill hostage, they managed to water down that government insurance plan in a very serious way. And, of course, nothing going on in the Senate as of yet. Those six senators who have taken the bill hostage over there say there is no movement just yet. Good story in the Washington Post today. Who would have thunk it? A little bit of basic journalism. It details the leading Blue Dog Democrat from Arkansas who is obstructing health care in the Commerce Committee. Representative Mike Ross made clear that he and a group of other conservative Democrats, his Blue Dogs, were unhappy with the direction that health care legislation was taking. This week he said the committee's draft falls short, threatening to filibuster and obstruct the bill. 5 days later, Ross was the guest of honor at a special health care industry reception, one of at least seven fundraisers for the Arkansas lawmaker held by health care companies and their lobbyists this year. Ross has raised more than $1.1 million through June, much of it from healthcare and pharmaceutical companies. This is the subject of my newspaper column out today. You can check it out at the Fort Collins, Colorado, and it's in the Denver Post tomorrow. My column not running in the Post on Saturday after the shakeout from the Rocky Mountain News collapse and the changing personnel over at the Denver Post. And my column goes into the 13 healthcare tyrants and how these lawmakers have taken the healthcare debate hostage and why. And it goes into some of the money that has been reported today in the Washington Post. As mentioned, we're going to have on Tim Jackson, president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, talking about this so-called Cash for Clunkers program. That program yesterday was in the news here in Colorado because it has generated a surge in auto sales using the program. Same thing nationally. Here's the bad news. The government's Cash for Clunkers program, says the Washington Post, is almost out of money, putting its future in question. Passed by Congress in late June, the billion-dollar program, which was launched just a week ago, gives vouchers worth up to $4,500 to consumers who trade in gas-guzzling cars for more fuel-efficient models. The effort is scheduled to run until November 1st, or until the money runs out, and so the question now is whether they're going to extend it. Back to health care, Senator Chuck Grassley, one of those six members of the Senate on that group of six that's holding health care hostage, is assuring his Republican colleagues that he will not sell them out and strike a deal with Democrats on health care reform. So this calls into question, what is everybody watching this set of six senators? Why are they offloading health care to this group of six senators when you got one of them, by the way, the most senior of them, saying he's not going to compromise on much of anything? On the other side, liberal lawmakers, according to the Hill newspaper, who oppose a deal House leaders cut with those Blue Dog Democrats, have now gathered signatures from 57 lawmakers who say they will not vote for the plan unless the public option is strengthened. So we're really coming to loggerheads here. This is bad news. It's got a tiny little bit of attention, but it's very bad news. President Obama will nominate former Republican Congresswoman Ann Northup of Kentucky to head the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the White House announced Thursday night. Now, Ann Northup is not one of these moderate New England Republicans. She is a Southern Republican from Kentucky. I worked against her when I was working on the House Appropriations Committee. She is a rank-and-file, super-conservative, corporate Republican. And now she's going to be heading the Consumer Product Safety Commission. I mean, this is really bad news. Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank have received subpoenas from a Senate committee that's probing whether they committed fraud in connection with last year's financial collapse, according to the Wall Street Journal. Finally, better late than never, I guess, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, chaired by Carl Levin of Michigan, is said to be looking into whether those firms and others had private doubts about the mortgage-backed securities they were putting together, despite their rosy public pronouncements about the complex products. So finally, Democrats are using their power to subpoena some of the bad guys. From the right-wing fringe, the psycho fringe, a forthcoming Research 2000 poll finds that 77% of Americans believe President Obama was born in the United States. 11% do not, and 12% are not sure. Now check this out. Among just Republicans, only 42% think he's an American citizen, 28% do not, and 30% are not sure. So half of Republicans in the country do not believe or have doubts that President Obama is an American citizen. This is the power of the right-wing media. Now, I don't know how well President Obama can establish that he was born here in the United States. I mean, state officials confirm this, his birth certificate confirms this, and I know there's this whole issue about the folks want him, the right-wing fringe, the birthers, want him to release the physical copy of his birth certificate. It's like, and I've heard the White House say, well, you know, the more we fuel this story, the more, you know, you release the copy of the birth certificate, and then people are going to, you know, there'll be some crazy theory about, oh, there's not a watermark on it or something like, I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. And here's some good news on that score. According to analysis of Nielsen data by the New York Observer, as criticism of Lou Dobbs has continued to rise over his outrageous questioning of President Obama's citizenship, Dobbs' ratings at CNN have plummeted. Dobbs' audience has decreased 15% in total viewers and 27% in the all-important age 25 to 54 demographic group. So, you see competing... I mean, you see half of Republicans believing in the questions, and then you also see the more the crazy right-wing fringe pushes this in the media, the more they lose the silent majority, if you will, of the country. In local news, Republicans are planning a Renaissance Mountain weekend here in Colorado. The Republican Party, National Republican Party, is planning a retreat at the Steamboat Institute Inaugural Freedom Conference, slated for August 28th and 29th here in Colorado. So the entire right-wing fringe to come to our great state at the end of August. Oh, joy. In local news... The issue of where to store what could be 17,000 tons of hazardous mercury waste has pitted state against state and become an issue in Colorado's gubernatorial race. Governor Ritter on Thursday said a federal proposal to consider the Grand Junction area as a potential dumping ground is deeply flawed. Ritter is urging Coloradans to tell the Energy Department's top czar to send the mercury somewhere else. Josh Penry, Ritter's potential opponent, one of the Republicans vying for the Republican gubernatorial nominee, he's in a little bit of hot water. In 2006, Penry signed a pledge offered up by his Democratic state Senate opponent vowing not to seek higher office while holding the seat. The pledge is now in the center of the political discussion as Penry launches his campaign for governor. Penry not resigning his seat. So, a little broken promise there. In business news, Southwest vying for Frontier Airlines. Southwest Airlines has jumped into the competition for the Denver-based Frontier Airlines, submitting an offer for the bankrupt air carrier that is $5 million more than the proposal on the table from Republic Airways. So, you got two airlines vying for Frontier. Business news, more than 100 trucks and snowplows owned by the city of Denver will be retrofitted with equipment designed to cut diesel emissions and improve air quality across the metro area, courtesy of a $700,000 federal grant from the stimulus package. I'm psyched about this. Ice cream store franchise Baskin-Robbins said Thursday wants to open 40 new stores in the Denver area. I'm psyched because when I think of Baskin-Robbins, I think of like... ice cream after Little League. Chocolate ice cream cones after Little League. Now, I'll give you this. I hope it doesn't hurt our local ice cream stores. I've been fairly impressed with the local ice cream selection. I'm a fan of Licks on, what is it, on 13th, 14th? Yeah, Licks. I'm a big fan. You got it. If you haven't been, the Chill-In in Cherry Creek. Very, very good. It's a new place. It's really, really good. And there's also a gelato place in Cherry Creek. And then, of course, Cloud 9. Cloud 9, the custard place, which is right near my house, right near 8th in Colorado. I love Cloud 9.
I don't get the gelato craze.
I like gelato. I mean, the custard, though, you got to try Cloud Nine. The folks who own that place, they're great. Cloud Nine's at 8th and Colorado. All right, little more news here, and then we'll open up the first topic of discussion. A warning about a scam hitting T-Mobile customers in Colorado, which could compromise your credit or worse. Local T-Mobile customers have been getting fake text messages saying their accounts have been compromised. So watch out for that. And Movie Friday. That's the last little piece of, I guess you could call it news. Today is Movie Friday. And the question for Movie Friday, when you call us up, the question is, what is your favorite and most powerful computer in a movie? I ask this question because AMC TV's blog has a look at what they call sci-fi's baddest computers. 2001, HAL from 2001, Skynet from The Terminator, The Matrix from The Matrix are among those. They do not list. My favorite is the Whopper from War Games. So it is Movie Friday. When you call up, make sure to give us your favorite computer, the most powerful computer, your favorite computer from a movie. 720, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. That was your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, here's
Ron Burgundy.
Whoa, Ron.
It's on loop. Sorry, Dave. I've been
no
trying
problem.
To fix it.
Ron's getting a little excited there. All right, so here's the plan today. We're going to have, after the break, we're going to have Dwight Jones, the State Commissioner of Education, to talk a little bit more about that state education funding issue. The census report this week saying that we fund education here in Colorado at among the lowest levels in the entire country. It is Movie Friday, so when you call up, start thinking right now about which computer in a movie is your favorite or which one you think is the most powerful. And we'll kick it off.
Would you like to play a game?
Yeah, exactly. I think the Whopper is the best. Absolutely. And there was a really good computer, by the way, in my new favorite movie, one of my favorite movies, the movie Moon. Kevin Spacey plays a HAL-like computer.
Yeah, I tried to get Kevin Spacey, the director of that, on for
it. That would have been
no avail.
That would have been awesome. 721 here in Denver. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Beautiful day out there. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Traffic's pretty beautiful as well as we're kicking off the Friday AM commute. Southbound 25, really our biggest problem right now. Speeds in the 30s between Thornton Parkway and 84th, again from I-70 past Spear. Got a crash on northbound I-225. It's got the shoulder blocked on the right-hand side, northbound at Iliff. Also got some heavy dense fog along I-25 over Monument Hill, but looks like that spot between downtown and the tech center on 225 and southbound I-25 are only problems. But, and again, that fog over Monument Hill. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer, highs in the lower 80s. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Right now, 53 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the better...
If you haven't thought about your car's battery in a while, it's time to talk to someone who has. The pros at Advance Auto Parts. They know all about batteries, how long they last, and when they should be replaced. One conversation at Advance could be the difference between being sure or being stuck. And if it turns out you do need a new battery, Advance has one for almost every make and model and will install it for you right on the spot, free of charge. Advance Auto Parts. We'll help you keep the wheels turning.
From Consumer Reports, Questions of Health. I'm Remy Sprantz. You're wondering, does grape juice have some of the same health benefits as red wine? Probably, though red wine may offer extra protection. Both are high in flavonoids, plant compounds that may protect the heart by inhibiting blood clots and possibly increasing the level of good HDL cholesterol. But the alcohol in wine may provide an additional anti-clotting benefit. Of course, too much alcohol poses serious risks, and both beverages pack about 190 calories per cup, so drink them in moderation. Your doctor has suggested minimally invasive surgery for back pain. Is it worth trying? Only as a last resort. Such surgery uses smaller incisions than the standard operation, but nearly half of some 1,100 readers who underwent back surgery said recovery was longer and more painful than expected.
and most back pain resolves on its own in about 6 weeks. When it doesn't, acupuncture, chiropractic care, or exercise often help. So consider surgery only if other options have failed. Your wife applies makeup daily. Is it dangerous for her to inhale the dust from facial powder? That's unclear. People exposed to very large amounts of those powders, such as workers in manufacturing plants, may be at higher risk of lung disease and certain cancers. But there's little research on the amount people breathe in while applying their makeup. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
This next top line.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Believe it or not, a 21-year-old bikini model has been kicked out of the Big Brother house. Laura Crosby became the second to be evicted from the 11th season of the reality show. She was put on the chopping block by fellow contestant and second head of household, Ronnie, who also nominated advertising salesman Jeff. Laura's departure left 11 house guests battling it out for Big Brother supremacy.
Technology. Just as you were starting to get to grips with 3G speeds on your cellular device, Verizon announced that it will trial its 4G network later this year. What does this mean for you? Well, nothing, unless you live in either Seattle or Boston, as those cities have been chosen as the first cities to get to try the new network. Long term, the company announced that they plan to launch in up to 30 markets next year.
Get to our next guest. I just want to ask folks, somebody mentioned to me, and they asked me to put this on the air and see if it's true. A friend of mine's having a lot of trouble with his iPhone west of I-25. Most places west of I-25, there's a theory out there that a couple towers went down. I'm curious if you're having that problem. When you call up, feel free to let us know if you're having that problem or whether it's just my buddy's phone. But my buddy is convinced that it is a systemic problem that AT&T is refusing to fix. I have no idea if that's true, but we want to hear from you. So if you know about that, give us a call. Let us know when we open up the discussion. Okay. As promised, on the line right now we have the State Commissioner of Education here in Colorado, Dwight Jones. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, really nice to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so study from the census, I'll remind the audience what it says. The report by the Census Bureau found that Colorado ranked 40th in spending per pupil for K-12 education in 2007. Colorado fared even worse in how much of its personal income goes towards public education. It spent the second lowest amount per $1,000 of income, ahead of only Florida. Okay, so I'll just ask you straight up, what's your reaction to this?
Well, the reaction is, I think there's a couple things. One, we know that tax structure in Colorado has been somewhat difficult for public schools, even though voters in 2000 passed Amendment 23, which has certainly made a big difference. But still, as the census report outlines, the state continues to lag behind a lot of other states. But on a positive note, and to the educators across the state, results actually fare pretty well. The Denver Post just had an editorial on July 29th really kind of addressing this issue that school funding may not be everything, because some of the achievement data in the state continues to kind of outpace some other states. So I think kudos goes out to the teachers and principals and parents and folks that are supporting the schools across the state.
We're talking to Dwight Jones, the state commissioner here of education in Colorado, after this Census Bureau report about our funding levels in Colorado. Now, the Denver Post made a good point that, a place like the D.C. school districts does not perform as well as we do here in Colorado on the metrics that we evaluate schools on, but is funded per pupil at a much higher rate. So I think that there's a valid point there, that money is not everything. However, I wonder if money is still something. In the sense, the idea being that, sure, it's not everything, but, 40th out of 50th in per pupil spending, and then this whole idea of 49th out of 50th in terms of how much in terms of our total personal income we're putting towards K-12 education. I mean, these are pretty stunning numbers. Do you think that this kind of thing should sort of shock us into saying, hey, wait a minute, You know, we're trying to compete with other states. We're trying to compete in a global economy. We need to start looking at some of the tax changes necessary to boost that funding.
Well, I do think it should certainly make us more aware of some of the challenges that some of the educators are facing across the state. You know, whether it shocks us or not, I don't know, because, you know, they're always, again, when schools are still doing pretty well, I think some folks sometimes take things for granted. But when you start talking about trying to recruit highly qualified teachers, what's nice about living in Colorado is it's a natural place to recruit because people like to move here.
Right.
But people, especially in the economy, the state that it is, there's a lot of competition for some of the top teachers. And so for districts to stay competitive, I think they've got to have competitive teacher salaries. And then, you know, a lot of parents pay a lot of attention to class size, and we know that class size makes a difference, especially when you have additional at-risk youngsters in the classroom. So I think all of those things really matter. So it's really nice that the legislature has an interim kind of finance committee that's studying this very issue and kind of looking at the tax structure to see if there might be a better way that we ought to consider funding our schools. And it seems like timing is just right for that kind of attention.
We're talking to Dwight Jones. He's the Colorado Commissioner of Education. After this Census Bureau report saying that Colorado is 40th out of 50th of the states in funding K through 12 education on a per pupil basis, and you know we hear a lot about money isn't everything, and I believe that. I don't think money is everything, but isn't it true that you know you said well you look at the problem with education funding in some senses, the political problem for it is that your schools may be performing well now, but education funding, there's kind of a lag, right? If you don't fund your schools well now, you may not see the initial impact of that funding problem for a couple years down the road, because a lot of this stuff is capital. Capital funding, a lot of it is, as you said, recruiting teachers. Is there a lag? And I wonder if you think there is a lag. What part of the arc are we on? Right, like are we trending? Do you think our school system is trending upwards right now, or are we potentially, because of a funding situation like this, are we on the precipice potentially of worse performance?
Well, you know, David, that's kind of hard to say. I mean, the demographics in Colorado continue to change, which would make us think that additional funding may be needed. For example, if you look at students identified at risk, and one of the key indicators of students that get identified as at risk is whether they qualify for free and reduced lunch. A total of 30% of the student population, 224,000 students, actually qualify for free lunch across the state, which has been a 36% increase in the past 5 years. Or even looking at English language learners coming into the system, we've got about 10% of our population that are identified as English language learners, about 75,000 students across the state. And we have roughly about 800,000 total students in the state of Colorado. That's a 112% increase in the past 5 years. So if you just think about the changing demographics and the additional need that are coming into the schools, then I think it would be a logical assessment to say that if we don't keep pace with funding, then it is going to be hard for the schools to maintain their current levels of achievement. And that doesn't even take into account facility needs and other things that sometimes get left out when you're trying to maintain certain class size or making sure that you're staying competitive with teacher salaries.
Talk to us about the politics of education and education funding, if you can, for a second. I'm curious why you think some of these, and really at the local level, many of these across the state, we've seen a lot of these ballot initiatives and efforts to raise the revenue stream go down. Certainly some have passed. What do you think the politics of education financing? It seems to me that increasing funding for the schools should be one of the easiest. Now, taxes are never easy, but one of the easiest of the difficult tax issues in terms of the politics of it to deal with. What are the politics of education funding? Why do you think some of those initiatives have gone down?
Well, I think some of the initiatives have gone down because in some communities, I think either folks have not been effectively informed of how the schools are currently being funded, or in some cases, there may be some issues on that they want to encourage to make sure that schools are using their dollars the best way and that they are exercising good fiscal management. So I think when communities start thinking about paying additional taxes, they want to feel some kind of assurances that their schools are actually being very fiscally well run and that the need is really there. But what's nice in this state is voters overwhelmingly in polling and even at the ballot box have been overwhelmingly supportive of their public schools. And I think even though some ballot issues go down, I think sometimes the general economy maybe has more to do with that than maybe that voters aren't wanting to support their public schools. And so this has been a state where I think overall, voters feel good about what's happening, at least in their neighborhood school. We know that there's a lot of room for improvement. On August 7th, we'll be releasing the state assessment data. And though there are some positive trends, we still also see some trends where there's a lot of room for growth. And what's nice is ever since we started having school accountability reports, I think parents and the community at large has been a lot more engaged in how their schools are actually doing. And I think that comes into effect sometimes when they're making a decision at the ballot box on whether they're willing to increase their taxes for more funding.
Well, and you know, that's an important point. I mean, a friend of mine, a couple friends of mine have said, and I won't mention the school district, but they've said they live in a school district here in Denver, and they said that the school, they believe one of the reasons why the school has done well is because the parents of the kids in school really are very, very engaged in the school. And that's one of those issues. It's one of those intangibles where it's not just about the money, where the idea is that the parents are sort of so on the teachers and on the administration and so involved in the school that it has, at least this is what a couple of friends of mine said, that's been one of the reasons why the school has done well. And, you know, I don't know what a state can do to encourage parental involvement or increase parental involvement, but I wonder if that's something that that you try to focus on in your work and whether you see it as a really key part of education.
Well, I certainly do see it as a key part. We have found in schools that are most successful, I think you can find a correlation that there is high parent engagement and a really nice relationship to the community. What's nice about that is typically even if the school is having some difficulties or struggling, when parents buy into the school, then they become part of the fix to make the school better, and we just find that that makes such a difference. So we really do work to try to support schools in increasing parent engagement. We recognize and understand the value of that. For example, the release of the growth data, we now will be releasing that so parents can go on the Colorado Department of Education website and pull up any school across the state and in some cases compare their school to other schools that have like demographics or just see how schools are doing generally in their school district or in their surrounding neighborhoods. So that's just one.
And you can get that on the website.
You can get that on the website, right? And we will be, again, releasing the state assessment data on August 7th, so all of that will be live. And we've been doing a lot of communication to parents across the state, encouraging them to say that's a great way to just get a quick analysis of how your own school is doing, as well as schools across the state.
That's fantastic. Well, the website is www.cde.state.co.us. www.cde, Colorado Department of Education. So www.cde.state.co.us. Dwight Jones, the State Commissioner of Education. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Good talking to you.
Thanks. Same.
That was Dwight Jones, the State Commissioner of Education, talking to us about the census report about Colorado coming in at 40th out of 50th in terms of how we fund K through 12 education. So pretty low. And an interesting debate over what we can do as our population grows. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday, so start thinking about what computers you think have been the best in movies, your favorite computers in movies. I got an email here. Somebody suggests, Greg Ostrovich suggests, Johnny Five from Short Circuit. My favorite is the Whopper from War Games. All right, after the break, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo to debate out a very, very controversial plan to deal with homelessness that could, I'm not saying it's going to, but could come to a city near you. It's gonna shock you what's going on. And one of the most famous mayors in the country is pushing a controversial plan to deal with poverty and homelessness that is going to blow you away. It's really disgusting. So you're going to want to stick around for that. First, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, it's gotten nasty all of a sudden, Dave. A couple major crashes. Right lane blocked westbound 270 near York. Only the left lane is getting through, so that's causing some really nasty backups all the way past Quebec. Also got a crash in the opposing lanes there, eastbound 270 at York. And a new crash, northbound I-25. It's between Alameda and 6th Avenue. The three lanes are blocked on the left-hand side and center lane, so get over to the right-hand side of the highway there. Also got some accident in the opposing lanes there around Alameda. Wood debris in the right lanes, southbound I-25 between Colfax and 8th Avenue. That's a spilled load, Stacy. Also got this crash on southbound 225, minor accident around Iliff. Also got one in the opposing lanes on the right-hand shoulder on the northbound side of I-225 at Iliff. So got really nasty all of a sudden. We usually like Fridays, not so far today. Forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, but warmer with highs in the low 80s. Chance for afternoon thunderstorms in the metro, but severe weather could be possible on the eastern plains where high winds, hail, and heavy rain is likely. Current downtown temperature, 55 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Dead battery, flat tire, out of gas? AAA, it's worth every penny. Join today. They can save you on the road and save you money with the largest discount program in the world. Call 1-800-JOIN-AAA or visit AAA.com. Relax, they take care of you.
Headshot.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
I didn't become Magic Johnson overnight. I had to set goals and go for them. If your goal is getting the best for your family, Rent-A-Center puts it in easy reach. Choose from top-name brands like Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more with no credit checks, no credit needed. And Rent-A-Center backs it all with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Because sometimes we need a little assist with our goals.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. This week, buy a $500 CalSpas gift certificate for only $100. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Some 743 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's in the 50s, I think, going up into the 80s today. Finally, the sun is out. And finally, a sunny weekend. Very psyched about that. All right, I'm calling an audible. Actually, Turk is calling an audible from the sidelines. We got a pileup of guests, and so we're going to hold off for a couple minutes on this story about homelessness that's going to blow your mind. I promise to get to it in the 8 a.m. hour. We're going to open up the and duke it out on that. So stick around for that. It's going to blow your mind. I promise you, you can't believe what one of the nation's most famous mayors is doing to his homeless population. And it may be a plan coming to a city near you. So what we'll do right now is we're going to open up the phones. It is Movie Friday, so if you got your favorite computer from a movie, call us up, give it to us. AMC's blog, AMC, one of the great television cable television channels, has its list of favorite computers from movies. HAL from 2001, The Matrix, obviously from The Matrix. It does not list my favorite, which is the Whopper from War Games. And if you want to call up and weigh in on the discussion about education funding, we just heard from Dwight Jones, the commissioner of education here in Colorado, saying that he is, you know, we got tax structure problems in the state that make it hard for us to better fund our education system, but funding isn't everything. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. And then if, and by the way, and I promised a friend I'd do this, if anybody's having problems with their iPhone reception west of I-25, let us know. You can, a friend of mine has a theory that that some of the towers are down over there, and asked to see if anybody else is having problems. So if and when you call up, let us know about that. 303-713-7600. Again, Movie Friday. Give us your favorite computer from a movie, and feel free to weigh in on this education funding debate after the Census Bureau study shows Colorado 40th out of 50th. Of the 50 states and how we fund education. 303-713-7600. David, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
And also kudos to John for filling in so nicely in the past.
Absolutely.
You know, I've been an educator here in Colorado since 1981, and I think 40th might be almost the highest we've ever been. I mean, in terms of per capita spending, we usually run between 42nd and 48th. And it's usually Florida, Georgia, or Mississippi, which keeps us from being dead last. Very sad that we aren't investing more money into young people's educations. Not that money alone will do it, but it's certainly a factor.
Absolutely. I absolutely think that's true. I mean, that was my big problem with the Denver Post editorial, was it sort of seemed to say money's not the issue at all. Education is one of those areas where it's a mix of everything. It's partially you can have the best, most engaged parents in the world. You can have the best, most efficient education structure in the world and the best curriculum in the world. If you don't have the dollars to back it up, it's not going to be a good education system. So it's a mix of all these factors, and especially when we're competing with other states for jobs. One of the things that is important to job development, if we're competing with other states, is how well we train our workforce. And if we're 40th out of 50th in how we're funding our K-12 system, which is basically training our workforce, it's going to cause problems.
Well, if money were not an issue, then the whole voucher question should go away immediately. Don't you think?
I mean, that's a very good point, right? That's the folks who say we should privatize education. They say, you know, we'll just get vouchers to fund, and we'll use divert the money into private education. You can't then argue that money doesn't matter. That's a really, really good point. All right, you got a favorite movie? Computer from a movie?
I got two favorites. First of all, my favorite computer, and this is a movie that all parents should watch if they have teenage boys. was the movie in Weird Science where Michael Anthony Hall and his buddy built the woman. Oh, yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Forgot about that one. That's a John Hughes one, I think.
That was a great little movie. It really was.
Yeah, totally.
And then the other...
Kelly LeBrock was the woman who was built.
Kelly LeBrock, the lady in red. Yeah,
right.
The woman in red. But the other computer that scared the bejesus out of me was... The one in the movie where the Republicans stole the election in Ohio not too long ago. That was a real scary computer, I thought.
Oh, you mean the dramatization, the one with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
The HBO movie, right. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I didn't think of that as a fictional computer. That's almost like a real computer.
That's right.
Hey,
yeah.
David, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
Anthony in Aurora. Anthony, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When it comes, I guess, a couple comments or whatever dealing with education, I would like to point out there's typically two different types of people that say no when it comes down to voting on raising education taxes in some form. You know, the people that say no because it's just another tax. And then you have the people that say no because they're out of the demographic of wanting to have kids or having kids. But I could tell you one big frustration that I have when it comes down to any of those types of functions is you look at like Powerball or Colorado Lottery, where you end up having all this money pumped in to supposedly our forestry. And, yeah, it still costs, $8 a night to get a decent campground?
Say that again. Say that last part again.
Yeah, you spend all this money. We get all this money pulled in from, Powerball and Colorado Lottery, and yet we have to pay $8 still to go camping.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, look, I mean, the tax structure in this state is really, in many ways, really, really regressive. The fee-based system. I know some people argue, look, it's a user fee, and so, you know, if you use it, you have to pay if you don't. But a lot of that stuff ends up being regressive, hitting lower-income people pretty hard. And I think that's another part of tax reform that we have to look at here in this state to try to make the tax system a lot more progressive. And I think you're right. I think you're right that a lot of people just vote against these tax proposals because they just themselves don't want to pay more taxes, even though it's to their public education system. That is a product, I think, of the me culture. And breaking that culture, it's been going on for 30, 35, 40 years. It's going to take a lot of work. Thanks for the call. 751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Man, traffic is just brutal for us. Friday's usually a lot better, but not the case today. Major crash westbound 270, blocking the right lane. Only the left lane is getting through, actually, so a couple lanes blocked there around York. Backups all the way to I-70 now, and also got this crash blocking three lanes of northbound I-25 at Alameda. The delays begin back around University. Both these accidents causing single-digit speeds. Also got a crash there in the opposing lanes of I-25 around Alameda. Got wood debris in the right-hand lanes. That starts around Colfax. A couple crashes on I-225. Both sides at Iliff. Also got an opposing a crash in the opposing lanes of eastbound 270 there around York. And a minor accident reported southbound 225 at Iliff. Just a nasty mess out there. Your forecast, partly sunny, decent chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, highs in the lower 80s. Right now, 57 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Beat the heat. Keystone Resort has two incredible golf courses and great daily rates. Golf and lodging packages starting from $143. Plus, enjoy a free 9 holes of golf on the afternoon of arrival when you stay with them. Visit golfkeystone.com for more details.
Hi, it's Mario, and I recently visited Lauer's Hardwood Showroom, and I love Vito Kill Wood products. The all-natural lodgepole pine is environmentally neutral and can be stained or left au naturel with its distinctive blue-hued beauty marks. Lauer's Hardwoods has Beetle Kill flooring, paneling, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, price perfect, and environmentally neutral. Visit Lauer's in Lakewood and say Mario sent you and get 10% off. Call them at 303-205-WOOD or lowershardwoods.com.
Hey, my name is Alan Matthews, owner of 3M Construction. Have recent storms damaged your roof, siding,
siding or windows? Time to file your claim could be running out. Don't get scammed by out-of-town predators knocking on your door and sponging off our local economy. Call a local company that you've heard of. 3M Construction has the experience to give you a quality job and the knowledge to work with your insurance company to get your home repaired fast. Call us today, 303-774-8005. That's 303-774-8005. 3M Construction, a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Finding right now are a lot of people, David, who are in retirement, have been relying on the security of CDs for their income, and they were paying, you know, 4.5%, 5% income off their CDs, and now they are maturing and resetting it too. So, I mean, how many times can you have your income cut in half without it dramatically affecting your day-to-day standard of living? We've got some solutions and some ideas for you. So if you are looking for CD safety, we do have some very safe investments. We also have some that are a little bit more speculative in nature. So if you'd like to hear the full array of what we're doing, give us a call. David gave you the number. Stop by. Have a cup of coffee. We'll visit and see if it makes any sense to do anything. If not, no big deal. If it does, hey, terrific. We move forward, right, David?
That's absolutely right. The number again is 303-694-1600. Again, 303-694-1600. That's the number to reach Mike Spear and his team at Presidential Brokerage. Mike, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, man.
All right, David. Thanks. You too.
The following is a public announcement. The Australian government has authorized the New York Mint to release to the public a limited number of 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala coins at a price of $98 each. Special offers on this and other gold coins are temporarily available to the public. Due to response, please dial carefully. In times of war and economic turmoil, gold is prized, but the U.S. melted down millions of U.S. gold coins and relatively few remain. Now through an agreement with the Perth Mint, the 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala is being released to the American public on a first-come, first-served basis at a price of $98 each, limit 5 per caller. Again, this is a public announcement. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala coins, along with other temporary special offers. Limit 5 per caller. Listeners may call now at 1-800-200-7709. That's 1-800-200-7709. 1-800-200-7709.
755 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. One of those mornings we're having a little bit of technical difficulty with our T1 line here, so if we're coming in a little choppy, we're working on it. It is Movie Friday. Give us your favorite computer in a movie. We need the Whopper here right now in our studio. Hey, this is the, but you know what? This is exactly what's going on right now in the control room. This is what's happening in our control room right now.
Prepare to make the jump to light speed.
They're getting closer.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
That's the engineering department.
Watch what?
I think we're in trouble.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
I noticed earlier the hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. It's impossible to go to light speed.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, we got hyperdrive motivator problems. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to... Eddie, you're on AM 760. Hello, Eddie.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hey, David. I just wanted to ask a question about the actual dollar amounts. You know, you say that Colorado's is number 40 and 49, but what is the actual disparity between us and number one in those? I mean, is it a huge amount, or is it, you know, say, you know, Colorado is $5?
Well, here's the numbers that I have right in front of me. You're putting me on the spot. The Census Bureau found that Colorado spent $8,167 per pupil. The national average is $9,666, and almost half the amount. So basically New York, the top state, spends about $16,000 per pupil. So that gives you some perspective on where we are.
Exactly. And the reason I ask is both those on the left, you know, us on the left and those on the right, we always take numbers and, you know, don't disclose them fully or something. And I think it is better for the discourse if we say, you know, okay, Colorado spends $2 and, you know, number one spends $12.
Oh, I agree with you. I haven't been trying to massage the statistics here. I'm just giving the rankings, and I'll give you the rankings on that other number, which I think is actually potentially more disturbing, which is how much of a percentage of our total personal income that we're putting towards education. Colorado, $34 of every $1,000 in personal income went to K through 12 education. Only Florida was lower at $33.83. The national average is $43 per $1,000. Now, you could argue, well, maybe that's because we do a decent job of earning money, and if you just lower the amount of money that we're earning, you could change that ratio around, but that's kind of disingenuous, too.
Yeah. No, those are interesting numbers, and actually it does put it in better perspective for me to see that, yeah, we really are.
Yeah, it's the numbers are shocking. You can find that report on the Colorado at the U.S. Census Bureau's website, and there's some more information about it on the Colorado Department of Education's website. Eddie, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
7:59 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, after the national news, we're going to have Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. We're also going to be talking about the Cash for Clunkers program. Stick around for that, and then we will get to a shocking story about how one city is dealing with the homeless. Is that going to happen here in Colorado? We'll debate it out.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can stay.
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over a million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
To bring production back in line with demand. And we should see some revival in economic growth in the third quarter.
The government's Cash for Clunkers rebate program is running on fumes.
We've never seen a program with such great response this quick.
Dealers like Peter Feiss have sold so many cars that the program is tapped out.
While the White House is assessing the situation, dealers like Doug Fox are left wondering what to do with customers who show up today. The program has pushed up sales, but it's also jammed computers and made it hard for dealers to file claims.
We're hopeful that it will continue, and we'll be able to deliver a lot more vehicles on this program.
The White House says deals made up to this point will be honored. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Thousands of bridges are falling apart, and states could use economic stimulus money to make them safe. But an Associated Press analysis shows they've gone another way, spending that money on bridges that are in good repair and on repaving. AP reporter Matt Apuzzo says those projects can get started a lot faster.
The goal of getting money out the door quickly is also conflicting with some of the other stated goals, which is getting money to really needy counties and fixing the worst bridges in the country.
Medical care can be hard to find for Army families. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
The number of Army-run medical centers and clinics has hit a five-year low, forcing one in six patients to seek care off-base. That, according to military records obtained by USA Today. And there has been a sharp increase in the number of facilities failing to meet a requirement that 90% of patients get routine care appointments within 7 days. Not surprisingly, some of the worst problems are at installations housing units that have seen heavy fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan.
They're homeward bound, the Endeavour shuttle astronauts.
Endeavour Houston, great news. You are go for the deorbit burn.
You are a steely-eyed hero. Go for the deorbit burn.
Endeavour fired its braking rockets a short time ago to begin its descent. The crew should be on the ground in 46 minutes. In Grand Forks, North Dakota, a woman who pleaded guilty to breastfeeding while she was drunk faces sentencing today. She could get as much as 5 years in prison. There were no injuries, but children's rights advocates are still outraged that officials in Western India allowed hundreds of infants to be dropped from the roof of a mosque into a bedsheet. The ritual was supposed to ensure good health and prosperity for the baby's families. In early trading on Wall Street, the averages have turned lower. The Dow is down now 10 points. This is CBS News.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more and get free delivery. No rebates, no hassles, no strings attached. We even have free haul away, which combined can save you up to $79 on top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Save not once, but twice with 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through August 5th in U.S. only, see store for details.
This year, Discovery Channel's Shark Week puts fear back in the water.
1 minute she was there, the next second she was gone.
And with more attacks, more stories.
It was freaking huge. She came by like a submarine.
And more survivors.
I can still hear that scream.
It'll be over before you know it.
Here it comes, get ready!
Shark Week. Fear returns. Sunday at 9. It's all new on Discovery.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Aurora's been growing for years and is apparently outgrowing the range of its emergency warning sirens. The city's adding 11 new sirens to the current count of 41. The Denver Post reports the new sirens will be installed mainly in the ever-growing southern and eastern parts of Aurora. Broncos training camp opens in full today with a lot of new faces. Broncos insider Adam Schefter.
Anytime you get a new head coach, new general manager, you're always going to see a lot of changing faces. And 45 of 80 is fairly typical around the league. That's not anything new. Where the real turnover will come will be on the roster. And I think most teams on average have about 18 new faces per year.
The most high-profile position with a new face is quarterback with former Chicago Bear Kyle Orton. And a nonprofit preservation group says it will lead a fundraising campaign for repairs to the Colorado Capitol's Gilded Dome. Colorado Preservation says the repairs will cost anywhere from $11 to $30 million. State officials say visitors are in no immediate danger, although 2 years ago a 10-pound chunk of cast iron fell off the dome. Sports, the Rockies split a doubleheader yesterday with the Mets, and they're in Cincinnati tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Aaron O'Neill with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
And we're looking at major delays out here on the highways, especially if you're North Bend I-25 heading outside the Denver Tech Center. You have a 30-minute delay sitting ahead of you. This is all because of an earlier wreck we had, North Bend I-25 north of Alameda. They had the three left lanes blocked off for a long time, leaving only one lane open. Now, the accident's gone. We're slowly starting to see the front of the jam loosen up, but really traffic is stopped right now right in between Colorado and the Broadway Bridge, about 30 minutes. South Bend I-25 also feeling the effects of that accident. A lot of stop-and-go speeds from I-70 all the way down through Alameda. The other big problem we have is up along 270 and the trip across Commerce City. Stay off that stretch of highway, especially if you're westbound. We're backed up from I-70 all the way up to York. Big multi-car crash. Right lane blocked, only a left lane sneaking through. It's got the eastbound side stop-and-go coming off of I-25 all the way down to the accident scene. And even backing up onto I-70 now, westbound's a little slow from Havana, getting over to 270. I'm Aaron O'Neill, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Beat the heat. Keystone Resort has two incredible golf courses and great daily rates. Golf and lodging packages starting from $143. Plus, enjoy a free 9 holes of golf on the afternoon of arrival when you stay with them. Visit golfkeystone.com for more details.
Introducing Ally Bank's 9-month no-penalty CD with a great interest rate of 1.9%.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. That just might be the final piece of the puzzle if you're taking on a tile project. Save money with our new lower prices. Learn how to do it yourself for less in a workshop. Then pay for it much later with special deferred financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay! Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
8:07 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. It's going up to 82 degrees today. Finally, some sun in the forecast. I'm looking at my Apple laptop's little weather predictor, and we got, looks like the sun from here until at least through Wednesday. So I am very, very psyched about that. Sick and tired of this place feeling like Seattle, Washington in in November. I know that it's good for the water table and all that stuff. I know rain is good, but that doesn't mean I have to enjoy it. All right, as promised. On the line, we got Christy Harvey from the Center for American Progress. She checks in with us every week at this time. Hey, Christy, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, I was away in China. Now I'm back.
I'm wildly jealous. It looked like a really good trip.
It was fun. It was fun. Food was really good, and also for somebody who has a weak stomach, it also made the trip interesting. Shall we say?
Gotcha.
All right.
Welcome home.
Thank you. So every week you track and give us all the stories that we haven't heard about, the news of the weird, the news of the outrageous. What do you got for us today?
Well, I have a new one that broke last night that's just a little story, but especially up here in Alaska, but I know that the conservative movement down in the lower 48 has also been following this. But Sarah Palin found another thing to quit.
Really?
She was, and it's been on the books. It has been on political futures calendars that I use to see what's going on since, I think, early June, that she was going to be the keynote speaker at the Ronald Reagan Library on August 8th. And in every single article about her resignation was her first public appearance is going to be at the Ronald Reagan Library on August 8th. And then yesterday there was a big announcement in the morning that she had decided and they had decided there that there were going to be no press allowed to come to this event on August 8th. And last night her spokesperson posted something on Facebook saying, yeah, we have no idea why people keep saying this August 8th thing. Sure, they asked her and we said we'd think about it, but she never confirmed. And we're not going.
Wait, hold on. Is this because – do you think she's not going because there is no press?
No, I have no idea.
Like, could that be causal?
It could be causal, or it could just be she didn't feel like writing a speech, or...
It would be funny if it was causal, because she's the one who complains about the media.
Right.
Right, so, like, it would be pretty funny if she was like, oh, there's not going to be media there, then I'm not going to give the speech.
No one knows what's going on, but this thing, not only has it been on the books, it's been widely discussed in every single... It's not like it was a surprise, they think you're coming. It was a 1 week before the event, just like she did with the other big RNC event, just like she did with the governorship of Alaska. She just sort of decided it wasn't really something she felt like doing anymore, and she's out.
Well, let me ask this about Sarah Palin. Is it possible that we can take Sarah Palin at her word? I don't think I do, but I found the whole situation over the last couple of weeks really bizarre in the sense that first she quits.
Right.
And then she gives this dramatic, I'm leaving tour. Right. And it was
sort like this. She's like the James Brown of American politics.
Yes, exactly.
So one more encore and when comes out with the cape and tries to take her off again and one more encore. And
yeah. And she was like, and then the weirdest thing was she was like talking about the transfer of power and it was like, this is weird because you're quitting in the middle of your term. Like, you're not fulfilling your responsibilities that you were elected for. You're supposed to serve out your term. And is it at all possible that she actually resigned for the reasons she seemed to state, that she just doesn't want to be in the spotlight anymore? Or is that, like, impossible?
Well, if you don't want to be in the spotlight anymore, on the day you transfer power to your lieutenant governor, you stand up and say a couple of kindly words and step quietly to the side and have a funnel cake. You don't have this huge 20-minute-long speech and attack the media and government and talk about, you know, the truth. If that's what she wanted to do.
So she's basically, you think, if I'm putting words in your mouth, but and I think this too, you think that she's basically like has started suffering from like narcissism disorder?
Well, it's just very strange. And the whole thing is that I'm not buying about the she had no idea they thought she was coming to this event thing that they're pulling today is I knew about it.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was out there enough that I knew. And so, you know, it was obvious that they knew for weeks that this thing has been being talked about. It would have been very easy at any point during any of the numerous statements that they did make to say, oh, and by the way, that Reagan thing everyone's talking about, not so much. You don't wait until, you know, a few days before the event and then
yeah, it's just
shocked,
bizarre.
Shocked that there is gambling in Casablanca. Like, it just, it was very strange.
She is, to me, she is a bizarre spectacle. She's like a circus show act. We're talking to Christy Harvey. Christy Harvey is not a circus show act. From the Center for American Progress. She lives up in Alaska. She gives us a update on what's going on, the stories that we may have missed over the week. All right, so I'm reading over this list you sent us of some news and notes.
I love the one. Did you see the thing I sent to you about the banks who accepted TARP funds?
I read a little bit about this. Tell us about it.
I think I have discovered, and I don't have a background in finance, and I'm not much of a mathlete, but I have single-handedly discovered the problem with Wall Street and what happened and why they're in trouble.
Tell us. Fill us in.
And you can thank me later. It was me and Andrew Cuomo. But New York State Attorney Andrew Cuomo yesterday had this report. And in the report, he crunched the numbers for these big banking companies, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, from last year. And it turns out they paid their top executives more in bonus money than they took in profits last year.
Let's say that again, because that's an important thing that people need to hear.
They gave more in bonus money to their executives than they took in profits. And let me give you an example. Goldman Sachs, they received $10 billion in TARP money. So last year, they made a profit of $2.3 billion. That's great. Last year, they gave executives $4.8 billion in bonuses.
So that means, if I hear you right, that is almost, it's empirical confirmation that they used TARP money to finance bonuses.
They had to.
They had to. Mathematically, right? I mean, that's where they got the money from.
Another favorite one is that, like, Citigroup and Merrill Lynch.
Right, Citigroup, which the government now owns more than a third of.
Exactly. Together, they got $55 billion in TARP money. And they lost last year. In 2008, they were in the red to the tune of $54 billion. And somehow they handed out $9 billion in bonuses.
Oh, my.
So just imagine that this is how you run your house. You know, you've got kids. Your kid comes to you. You say, I make $200 a week. And your kid comes to you and says, I'd like an allowance. And you say, sure, here's $3,000. And then you wonder why you can't pay rent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then you have to call your mom and ask for a loan.
And what's amazing about this is that, and this just isn't in the media debate at all, which is that the media debate surrounding healthcare is, oh, we can't rush healthcare. Healthcare costs $1 trillion. We can't rush. It's $1 trillion. Oh, my God, it's $1 trillion. We can't rush $1 trillion. Meanwhile, the TARP, the bailout money, the TALF, the way that the Federal Reserve is now being able to allow to lend out money, that we're talking about trillions of dollars that nobody said, hey, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't rush that out the door, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's such a double standard.
Oh, by the way, I fixed health care, too.
Oh, you did?
I had a busy week.
You certainly did.
Yeah, I figured out how to pay for health care. And or a lot of things, because there's this new global energy study that they did. It was a consulting group called McKinsey. And they crunched the numbers for U.S. energy consumption. And it turns out if we took on measures to make our houses and offices more efficient, sealing ducts up to make sure there weren't drafts,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the stuff they always tell you to do, replacing old inefficient appliances with new Green
right.
Star or, you know, Energy Star appliances and that sort of thing, it would probably take about $520 billion in an initial, you know, we'd all have to pitch in and make these changes. But according to the numbers that they crunched, we would save 23% of our current energy consumption. And we would save by the year 2020, which is not that far away, we would save $1.2 trillion.
So an investment of $500 billion would give us a return of $1.2 trillion.
By 2020.
By 2020, which would, the net would be $700 billion.
Yeah.
which would get us, according to the, if it's a $1 trillion healthcare plan, which would get us, you know, 70% of the way to funding healthcare.
Well, exactly, and that's just by 2020. By 2025, we're saving more money and more money. This is the
right
thing that keeps on giving. We could save by doing these things, this study said, and it's by McKinsey. The New York Times had it yesterday. If we did these things, we would save 23% in energy use, which is about the amount of energy that Canada uses.
The entire nation of Canada.
We would save enough energy that we could just, you know, that's what Canada uses.
That's
isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, and unfortunately, your plan is so brilliant and so smart and so commonsensical.
Yes.
That it's impossible for any of that to even be discussed in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely impossible.
Absolutely impossible.
I feel a little warm and cuddly inside because I thought of it.
No, it's definitely a good idea. Christy Hart.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It did make me think because we get into so many fights about these things, you know, with, for example, clean energy and drill, baby, drill versus we need wind turbines. And those are conversations we need to have. But I'm all about personal progressive politics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this just shows me, you know what, maybe I should start unplugging my chargers at night and making sure that my, you know, toaster is unplugged.
Do you know what's interesting about you bringing that up? It's that I find that it becomes kind of a compulsion now. In our house, we have become, like, kind of compulsive about, for instance, we throw away. Like, you know how you like order Chinese food and they'll send you you'll get like the plastic thing, right?
Right.
We now have a huge drawer full of those plastic things which we reuse all the time.
Right.
It actually becomes kind of fun. It becomes kind of like a compulsion to not throw things away, to conserve energy. My mother-in-law has a Prius. She is like obsessed with trying to get they've got a little meter on the dashboard that says how many miles per gallon you're getting. She has become obsessed with like driving exactly the right speed to raise
That's
her.
Awesome.
And it's like, yeah, it's like a competition. Her other friend has a Prius. So I'm with you on this idea of like, it's got to be a mix.
Politics.
Absolutely. But it's got to be a mix, right? We have to give the government has to do its part to give people the tools to conserve.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's the same thing with healthcare and that study that came out early in the week about how much we spend, like 9% of our healthcare costs go for problems that arise because of obesity.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So I just think that, you know, we need to have a new way of governing where we sort of strike a bargain with the government and say, if you guys can get it together, we'll get it together too and help out on our
That's side. Right. If the government can provide the tools, we also have to do our part to use the tools. That's why the Energy Star program, right? That's like a perfect example. The government has an Energy Star program. It gives us the choice of buying things that are more efficient. Now, it's up to us to buy them, and it's up to us to use them efficiently. But I completely agree with you. It is totally a partnership. Now, if we could just be smart enough to engage in that partnership, you're right, we'd have enough money to do all the things that we need to do. Christy Harvey at the Center for American Progress, thanks for taking the time this morning. Have a great weekend.
Excellent. You too.
Okay. 8:21 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. All right, after the break, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Tim Jackson, the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, on to fill us in on what's going on that Cash for Clunkers program that you've been hearing a lot about in the news. It's boosted some sales of cars. People are very excited about it. However, there's a question about whether the program is running out of money. So we'll find out what's going on and how, if you can get involved in that program, if you can benefit it, how you can, the mechanics of how you can benefit. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Got this accident cleared northbound I-25 around Alameda. All lanes are now moving, but really slowly beginning back at Colorado Boulevard. Single-digit speeds due to this earlier crash. Also have one down in the very south end northbound I-25. It's around Greenland, the Greenland exit there at the County Line Road. It is a rollover.
It's on the right-hand shoulder. Both lanes are open, but there has some really massive curiosity delays. Also a crash westbound 270 right around York. Only the left lane still getting through. Single-digit speeds begin back at I-70. Also causing curiosity delays on the eastbound side back around I-25. On southbound 25, wood debris in the right lanes between Colfax and 8th Avenue. That's a spilled load, Stacy, and they just cleared that accident southbound 225 at the Dayton Street Bridge, but still seeing some stop-and-go conditions back before Parker Road. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, but warmer with highs in the low 80s. Chance for afternoon thunderstorms in the metro, but severe weather could be possible on the eastern plains. Your current downtown temperature is 57 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver Health has a variety of job openings for registered nurses and healthcare providers. For more information...
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Boulder County residents, did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You could save as much as $40,000. Learn how Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000 more just by attending this event. RSVP at solaripsi.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Heads up, everybody! Now you can get Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost for $19.99 a month for 6 months. So that means we really gotta bust our hump. I'm gonna need some experts on this one. So Mixmaster, I need you to handle music downloads.
Now, pizza lyrics, look to me. I'll kick them from your laptop to your MP3.
Big Eddie, I need you to beef up virus protection.
Sure thing, boss. As soon as I find my brass knuckles.
Shutterbug,
yuck.
I need you to handle the photo center.
I'll do it now. Fast.
Happy.
Maple, be out.
And wait. Lightning. Make those download speeds faster than ever.
Done.
Great. Get right on it.
No, I mean, I'm finished. It's done.
Get the biggest value in internet. Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost lets you download your favorite movies and music lightning fast. And the McAfee security suite is included. Get it all right now for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today.
Offer ends 7/31/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to performance service for new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation and taxes extra. For more information, visit Comcast.com.
See terms of use.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more and get free delivery. No rebates, no hassles, no strings attached. We even have free haulaway, which combined can save you up to $79 on top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Save not once, but twice with 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through August 5th in U.S. only, see store for details.
Hey, 26 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Before we get to our guest, we got Tara checking in with us about the my AT&T question. Are folks having problems with the iPhone west of I-25? A friend of mine says he's convinced that there's a broader problem. It's not just his phone. Tara, what do you got for us?
I have the same problems. My phone doesn't take voicemail. Somebody will call me and it'll say, there's a voice recording that comes on and says at this time this phone cannot take a voicemail.
All right. So you're having problems, and you're having problems specifically west of I-25, huh?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right. So we'll mark you down for one other person corroborating the story. So folks know about this. I don't even have an iPhone, by the way, so I don't have a personal interest in
you're
it.
You're lucky.
But, yeah, well, the phone itself looks cool, but I hear some bad news about the service, and I'm just trying to do my part. I know there's a lot of iPhone-less users out there, so just trying to figure out if there's something going on, trying to do our part for the cell phone using community. Tara, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, 827 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to talk now. In studio, we have Tim Jackson, the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. We're going to talk to him about the Cash for Clunkers program. This is where you can trade in your car that has lower fuel efficiency for a new fuel efficient vehicle and get basically a subsidy. This has proven to be very popular, but now the issue is that the White House is saying that the program may run out of money. Tim, what's going on?
The mixed signals out here, David. It's a program that was supposed to last or scheduled to last to November 1.
It just started a week ago. Did I read that right?
A week ago today.
So how could they be out of money in a week?
It was so successful.
Are the dealerships just jammed?
Yeah, this 6-day period, if you will, we had probably the best 6-day period in the history of the automotive industry in Colorado. I mean,
was the Cash for Clunkers program, could dealers pre-sell it?
They couldn't pre-sell it. They absolutely could not pre-sell it. They were forbid from doing that. And we had to wait on the rules. The rules were released at 5 a.m. our time 1 week ago today. So that's when the green light went on. Now, what they could do, David, they could take a deposit. Just like you'd take a deposit on a car, people come in and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to do the Cash for Clunkers. Well, we can't run that program, but pick out the car you want. You know, go ahead, do the test drive and all that.
And
we don't even know what.
And they could probably estimate for you. You're going to get roughly this for the cap, right? They could give you a sort of a ballpark.
Sure. And the ballpark was between $3,500 and $4,500.
Right.
So in round numbers, $4,000, and which is nothing to sneeze at. And then some manufacturers have doubled it. Chrysler has doubled their program. So if somebody qualifies for a $3,500 voucher, it's called, under the car allowance rebate system, then Chrysler will do another $3,500 if it's $4,500.
So Chrysler would take, theoretically, you can get $7,000 off of Chrysler.
$7,000 to $9,000, yeah.
I mean, that's like really a lot of money.
We had cars going out. We have cars going out that have stickers of 18, 19, and 20,000 that are going out for less than $10,000. It's amazing.
That is really amazing. All right, so tell us, before we get into the issue of whether the program is going to continue to exist, how does somebody go about getting engaged in this program? What kind of car do they have to have? What kind of benefit do they get depending on the kind of car that they have and the kind of car that they're buying?
Sure, and I'll give you the general parameters, and let's start with where consumers and your listeners can go to get additional information. www.cars.gov, and that's an acronym for Car Allowance Rebate System. And on there, one of the first icons they'll see is a fueleconomy.gov, and that will show all of the trade-in cars that are eligible under the program. And they're basically
a certain set. Kinds of cars, the actual kinds of cars that you have to buy in order to benefit from this program, that's a set list of cars that you can find at www.cars.gov.
Yeah, and both sides. There's a set defined infinite, if you will, group of cars that qualify or don't qualify on the trade-in. And I can give you the basic parameters on that.
And before you give us the basic parameters, are those actually those models specifically listed?
They are.
That must be a huge list.
It is
like
a huge list.
It's old cars.
It's old cars. It's, anything from 1 year to 25 years old. So basically between 1984 and current model cars. And they have to get less than 18 miles per gallon. That's the car that's being, the clunker that's being traded in. Because those cars are going to be recycled. They're not going to be sold. The dealer has to disable the engine on it to qualify. And there's a compound. They have to literally disable it. Then it has to go to a certified auto recycler. And by the way, 84% of a car is recyclable. So they are recycled, and they're real professionals who are doing it. We know them. I've met them. I'm incredibly impressed with
That's reassuring because you and I have talked about this, that my question about the whole business model of the car industry is, you know, you're asking people to buy cars, and cars use up a lot of, just to build a car, not the fuel it's burning, to build a car using so much material, you're using a lot of energy. So if a large part of it can get recycled, then this program, mandates the recycling of as much of it as possible. That's really good news.
Absolutely. And in fact, there are so many stipulations required on the dealership side and on the recycler side that's part of the problem with the program, because the computers have literally been bogged down. We've got dealers who have sold 25 cars and they haven't processed the first one yet because mm-hmm. they keep getting bumped.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally figured out the code on that. They need to go in at night, sometime after 10 o'clock at night, when all the other dealers are closed and they're no longer trying to get their deals put in, and that will make it work. So, you know, it has been a challenging process, but for the consumer, it's been a really good process. Because of the value that they're getting.
So you go onto the website, www.cars.gov. You look to see if your car make and model is listed on one side. Okay, because you got to be eligible in that half.
Right.
And then you, to be complete the two halves, you've got to be buying a car that is qualified as more fuel efficient. And what's interesting is that you could have bought your car a year, 2 years ago, that was really fuel inefficient. And so we're not just talking about old cars. We're talking about cars 1, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years old that you can go in and trade in. And what are the general parameters for? Like, what's the fuel efficiency of the cars you have to buy roughly, and the fuel efficiency of the cars that you can trade in that's below the fuel efficiency that we want?
Yeah, on the trade-in, it's very basic. It's 18 miles per gallon or less. And that's on the EPA rating or the NHTSA rating, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. NHTSA, by the way, is the governmental agency who's administering the program and who's working through all these issues. On the car that you're buying, that varies and on the fuel economy requirements, but it has to be at least 6 miles per gallon or better. And then
what you're trading in.
And then, that's what distinguishes or determines whether it's $3,500 credit, because if it's $3,500 credit, it means that you're not getting the most fuel efficient car on the other side.
Gotcha.
The other thing most of this is going unnoticed by most media, and that is that here in Colorado, the state legislature refined its perimeters on tax credits. And we just had a consumer yesterday say, hey, my husband got a tax credit last year on $3,500 on a new hybrid. Is that program still available, and can it be on top of this? And, yes, the answer is it can absolutely.
What is the state tax credit?
The state tax credit, well, that varies, and I don't want to get into the details of that because they are confusing, but it's available on our website at cadaopenroad.org.
cadaopenroad.org, okay.
Uh-huh. And then it's basically a newsletter, and they can click on to the state website. But some of those credits value up to $4,500 as well. So,
wow.
So literally, if the person's buying the right car, and that's...
So if you got a clunker and you qualify for the $4,500 for a Prius, let's say, a hybrid.
Right.
And you got an old clunker and you're going to buy a hybrid, you may be eligible for $9,000 in just tax credits.
And I think the number we have out on that on the website is up to 10.5. But it's a limited number of vehicles. You'd have to have the right combination. Certainly on the trade, that's 18 miles per gallon or less. And then buying some of the new plug-in hybrids that are coming
mm-hmm.
out. And maybe the new Honda Impulse, I think, may qualify for that. But upwards of $10,500.
That's really amazing. We're talking to Tim Jackson, the president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, about the Cash for Clunkers so-called program. All right, now tell us what you know about this controversy over. I mean, the program's only been going on for a week, and evidently the talk is that it's so popular it might be out of money. What does that mean for somebody who's now hearing this broadcast and saying, "Hey, I want to go try to get involved in this. I want to." Get a $10,000 deal trading in my clunker. What does that mean for that person?
Right, and I wish we could give your listeners a definitive answer on that, because right now I can't even give our member dealers a definitive answer on that. We're recommending to dealers, as of this morning, new car dealers in Colorado, to go back to the process they were at before last Friday, and that was taking deposits until we can they can rest assured that they will get their money.
So you can go into a dealership, hopefully. You'll be able to go into a dealership, even with this legislative wrangling about the program and are they going to fund it more. And the hope is that you'll be able to go in there, pick out a car, put a deposit down for a car, and then when this becomes more clear, the program becomes more clear, your dealer will call you up and say, okay, they've either fixed the program, you know, they've refunded the they've put more money into the program, we're all good to go on the estimates of how much, you know, with the Cash for Clunkers program that you will save, and let's go forward with the transaction. Or they might call you up and say, all right, look, well, you know, the program ran out of money. We can't offer you the Cash for Clunkers deal, so you have to decide whether you want to buy the car without the cash. That's what you're encouraging your dealers to do.
Exactly. And yeah. I think by this time, well, certainly by this time next week, but it might be midweek next week before the Department of Transportation's NHTSA computers are caught up with the transactions. For example, David, the meter, they've got a meter that shows how much money is left in the account.
Right. It only shows what it shows that there's $776 million left in the program.
But, 4/5 of the money, basically.
Right. But they're also, saying, put it this way, folks. Without them processing all the claims, they still know that they're probably running out of money, even though the dial that tracks the processing hasn't caught up with what they know is already in.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so it's a real backup. I got to tell you something. You know, I told my brother, was thinking about, he's got, I don't know if his car qualifies, he's got a very old Toyota Camry, really old. I'm talking like my grandparents. Yeah. Now, I don't know if the Camry's pretty fuel efficient. I don't know if it qualifies. Because remember, folks, it's not just how old your car is. It's how fuel inefficient it is. But I told him, you know, bottom line, now is a really, really good time to buy a car because there's a lot of just sales out there. Car dealerships want to sell. And with this program, if you have a fuel inefficient car and you can put some of the money together, which I know it's a recession, but if you can get $10,000 off a car, I mean, that's pretty, I mean, what would be interesting is to do the math and look at, all right, what is the cheapest car you could buy to get you the most tax? In other words, which car could you walk in and get a new car for like $4,000, right? Or $5,000? I bet you there's one or two cars, if you pick the cheapest off the new ones and you get the biggest tax credit and it happens to be a Chrysler and they're matching it, you might be able to walk into a dealership and get a car for like $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I know we know of deals that have gone out where the consumer walked away with a new car, drove away with a new car. I guess would be the analogy for less than $10,000. We know it, and that was not factoring in anything on a state tax credit.
See, that's what I'm saying. So right. What I'm saying, you can really drive. So again, I know it's a tough time out there. Recession is really bad, but if you were thinking of getting a new car or you need a new car, right? Your car dies. This is the time to try to get involved in this, especially, and I'll say this, if they recapitalize this Cash for Clunkers program, you know, who knows if it's that popular, how quickly it'll get depleted again. So you're going to want to get in there. If you're thinking about it, get in there now. Tim Jackson, president of the Colorado Auto Dealers Association. Their website is www.coloradodealers.com. Thanks for coming in this morning.
You bet. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Good to see you.
8:40, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM760 Progressive Talk. Stick around. After the break, we're going to get to that controversial topic, I promise now, about what one of the most famous mayors in America is doing to his homeless population under severe budget cuts. It's shocking. The question is whether it's coming to a city near us. Also, it's Movie Friday. Give us your favorite computer in a movie. Mine is the Whopper from War Games. Tell us yours. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still a mess out there due to a few different accidents. The real heavy one, westbound 270. This crash blocking the right-hand lane near York Street. Only the left lane is getting through there, so single-digit speeds. Going to kick in for you at I-70, causing also some delays on the eastbound side back at I-25. Speeds in the teens there all the way to the site of that accident. Got a new problem on northbound I-25 at
Colorado. It's a center lane stall is what it looks like. Or no, it's an accident, rather. Accident blocking the center lanes northbound I-25 at Colorado. That's causing backups to around Evans right now. Also southbound side, really heavy from 58th down to Spear Boulevard. One more problem on I-25 near Larkspur. Got a rollover accident near County Line Road, northbound I-25 there at the Greenland exit. Both lanes are open, but do have some curiosity delays there as well. Partly sunny today with decent chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. Right now, 59 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Enjoy a beautiful drive up the canyon to the Rockies' most exciting canyon, Canyon Casino. Play craps, roulette, blackjack, lots of slots, and video poker. Plus, find some soul at the canyon when you enter to win a new Kia Soul. Get details at canyoncasino.com.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you Audio on Demand.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should, too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Again, if your home is over 20 years old, you need to call now.
How can we make you smile? Call Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000.
How would you like to lose weight for free? Hi, I'm Steve Bostick for Right Size Smoothies.
And I'm Scott Johnson. For a few months now, we've offered an incredible deal to the public. Use Right Size Free for 2 full weeks and see how much weight you can lose before you pay for them.
But some of you haven't called, so we're offering one last chance to take advantage of this popular offer. These people called.
I lost weight within a couple days. Now I'm down 120 pounds.
A free trial sounded like a no-brainer, so I called. Within the first week, I'd lost a lot of weight.
I knew within a few days I finally found the answer. I've lost 44 pounds.
Right Size Smoothies contain an appetite manager called Apamine that knocks out hunger cold. You'll see results early, so you'll know you can do it.
How much weight can you lose in 2 weeks? Try Right Size Free and find out. You could be our next testimonial.
For your free 2-week trial, call 1-800-900-0805. That's up to 30 free smoothies. 1-800-900-0805. 1-800-900-0805.
Safe retirement question number 66. Want to know how to be 100% sure you won't outlive your money? Stop gambling with your retirement dollars. Tune into the It's Time to Cover Your Assets show, Saturday afternoons at 12:30, right here on AM 760.
Attention Boulder County residents. Did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You can save as much as $40,000. Learn how Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000 more just by attending this event. RSVP at solaripsc.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Expert.
Haven't seen the sun in a week. My skin is getting pale. Haven't got a mind left to speak.
8:45 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Finally, a sunny day, which is I'm thrilled about. All right, so as promised. You got to hear about this story, about what is going on in New York City. The big story out of New York. Here's the New York Times headline. Mayor defends one-way tickets for homeless. Mayor Michael Bloomberg today defended a city program to send homeless families out of New York City on planes, trains, and buses on Wednesday, justifying the program by saying it saves the taxpayers of New York an enormous amount of money. Speaking in City Hall, Bloomberg was asked if the program simply shifts the homelessness program and problem to a different place, as some critics of the program have suggested. Quote, I don't know when they get to other places whether they find jobs. It may be an easier place for them if we don't. We either have two choices. We can do this program or pay an enormous amount of money daily to provide housing. In New York City, the Bloomberg administration says it costs about $36,000 a year to provide shelter for a homeless family. And the average stay in a shelter is about
9 months. And so what you have here is one of the biggest cities in the nation dealing with a recession and dealing with the problem of poverty and homelessness by saying the solution is to pay for one-way tickets for homeless people to get out. Now, in Colorado, here in Denver, for instance, we are going to face a huge budget cut. Denver Business Journal reports Denver faces a $120 million budget cut over the next 18 months, according to Mayor John Hickenlooper. The mayor blamed 8 months of declining sales tax revenue, including a 10.7% year-to-year drop in May, forcing a revision in budget estimates. And so my guess is you're going to start hearing about really draconian cuts, and that comes on top of a $400 million state budget deficit. So the open question, do you think Mayor Michael Bloomberg, again, one of the most famous municipal officials in our country from a very big city, he's getting a lot of press for this. Do you think it's right? Do you think it's moral? Do you think it's ethical? Do you think it's appropriate for other cities as part of the way they deal with homelessness and try to cut the budget, simply fund one-way tickets out of a city, out of either Denver, out of where, out of the city you live in? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. Weigh in on this. Do you think it's right for a city to save taxpayer money on homeless shelters by buying the homeless one-way tickets out of the city? Or do you think that's unethical and immoral? To me, it sounds like it's banishment. That's the policy. It's a policy of banishment. The way we're going to deal with homelessness and poverty is to simply throw poor people out of the city. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, I know that some people say, well, you know, some people who are homeless, maybe this is a way for them to, they don't have the money to go move and live with family somewhere else. Maybe this is a way to help them get into a better situation. But as a matter of public policy, it seems to me that if a city is using its taxpayer dollars to finance people to get out, that there's something immoral about that. And I was debating this with a friend earlier, and I said, you know, I'd actually have less of a problem with this idea if it was a federal program, right? Because the federal government represents the whole country, right? And the federal government helping people relocate within its country, there's less of a feeling of banishment, right? A city using its taxpayer money to move people outside of its own boundaries, that to me just seems like institutionalized banishment. And that's a way you want to talk about gentrifying your city, the war on the middle class. Shipping poor people out of your city is, you know, that to me is a way to really, really make a gated community out of your city. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Tony, you're on AM 760. Hello, Tony.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah.
Well, I've often wanted to call in. I try to send emails sometimes, but I actually got in this time. And like I was telling the interviewer, it reminds me there was a governor of Texas. I can't remember her name, but she did a similar plan with the prisoners of Texas. She sent them a one-way ticket out of the state of Texas just to get and I don't remember what years these were. My feelings on it is maybe it should be on a case-by-case basis. If there's a family, they could help them out, but they can't afford to, and, you know, to pay for the plane ticket. And if they're all willing to, you know, help, maybe that's a good situation. But, no, I don't agree with the main philosophy of it.
Yeah, and, I think the idea that, and the way Bloomberg is framing it is like, look, it's just cheaper to do it this way. Well, no. I mean, that's unacceptable, right? I mean,
yes, it is.
It's one thing to say, look, we want when people come to us and say, I want to go somewhere, you know, and this would be really helpful. That's different than saying, look, people want to stay here, but it's just cheaper for us to kick them out. That to me is there's no morality. There's no morality to that. And the way to deal with the problem then is to say, look, we got to fix our economy. We got to create jobs. We got to get mental health care facilities. We got to revive the economy to deal with the problems of poverty, not simply throw poor people out of our city. I completely agree. Tony, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
852 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to this topic. Again, do you think it's okay that New York City is throwing homeless people out of its city, giving them one-way tickets to get out instead of funding its shelters? We're going to have major budget cuts in cities across Colorado, and there's going to be some really draconian cuts. Is this something that Colorado should look into, throwing the homeless, throwing poor people out of the cities, out of the state, because we can't finance shelters? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, a couple problems, Dave. Let's start on northbound I-25. They had an earlier stall there at Santa Fe, but that has been cleared, but still seeing some really bad jams back around Downing Street. If you're trying to get out of the tech center, we have an accident blocking the center lanes of northbound I-25 around Colorado. So you're going to start hitting the brakes between Hamden and Yale. They just cleared that crash westbound 270 at York. Still seeing some heavy jams there back around Quebec. And down in the south end, County Line Road in Monument, rollover accident on the right-hand shoulder of northbound I-25. That's right there around the Greenland exit. Both lanes are open, but people slowing down to check it out. Your forecast today, partly cloudy, breezy, but warmer. Highs in the low 80s. Chance for afternoon thunderstorms in the metro, but severe weather could be possible out in the eastern plains, where high winds, hail, and heavy rain likely. Your current downtown temperature, 60 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Shop the JCPenney Appreciation Sale. Everyone gets an extra 15% off instantly on all regular and sale price items with a coupon this Friday and Saturday. Go to jcp.com to see everything on sale. Style, quality, and price matter. JCPenney.
The United States has been the one that has been falling behind.
When you opened your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you followed your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going. At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings, they had the readings confirmed, they had different people check me out, and it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit californiapsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
Homeless shelters. He's saying that this is the way to save money. This is a fine thing. City doesn't want to pay for shelters anymore, so it's simply kicking the homeless out. Do you think that's a good idea? There's going to be major budget cuts in cities and counties across Colorado. Is this something Colorado should look into? Jim in Boulder County. Jim, you're on AM 760.
Hello, David.
Hey there.
I want to tell you that as long as maybe a 10 or 15 other cities around the country do the same thing, I think Mayor Bloomberg's hit on really helping to solve a problem. Because what they do is the homeless person gets a one-way ticket to, say, Dallas. He goes to Dallas, he spends a couple weeks in Dallas, and then he gets a one-way ticket from Dallas to, Los Angeles. And he just moves around the country for a year.
So you're being facetious.
I'm being facetious.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's
pay people to live. To pay poor people to leave town. I mean,
it's unbelievable. Well, you know what? The sad part is, if you're Mike Bloomberg and you're a billionaire, and you're representing a city that is really becoming more and more stratified, his calculation is: look, the general public doesn't like homeless people. in general. And so who's really, you know, the homeless are not an organized political constituency. So who's really going to give me trouble for using taxpayer money to simply throw homeless people out of the city? Now, I mean it when I say that the budget situation in Colorado and in cities across the country are so bad that I don't think it's a stretch to wonder whether this kind of thing is coming to a city near all of us, whether it's Denver or somewhere else.
I'll agree with you. That sounds, you know, that sounds like it, you know, if it gets started anyplace, then it could, you know, it could snowball and everybody
and
could be doing it.
Especially, you know, New York City. Mike Bloomberg, you know, one of the leading, most famous mayors in the country. I agree with you. You made a good analogy. You get people moving all over the country. It's like the old, in the Great Depression, the hobos on the trains.
Right. But it also seems to me that, you know, we never really have addressed the problem of homeless people, and that's the reason they're homeless is because they don't have a job.
That's exactly right.
So let's say it costs $500,000 to ship all these homeless people all around the country, you know, for the first week. Why can't we take that $500,000 that Bloomberg's going to spend to ship them out of town
and create jobs?
Create some kind of jobs for them.
That's exactly right. The issue is you're just offloading the problem. The real problem is the economy. The real problem is we've got to rebuild the economy. Exactly. All right, stick around. We'll debate this out more after the national news.
Want to take your business to the next level? Win $5,000 in advertising for your business.
Probably the best idea I've ever had.
AM 760 is offering a small business stimulus package to give your company the kickstart that it needs. Register now on AM760.net.
I bet you knew that fish oil is good for your heart, skin, joints, even memory and focus. But did you also know it's good for your wallet? That's right. Hi, I'm Jan Levin, president of Purity Products, and I've authorized giving away a risk-free trial of our Omega Berry fish oil with vitamin D and acai to anyone and everyone who calls now. Discover the miracle of fish oil for your skin, joints, focus, and heart health. To find out how to get your free trial, call now, 1-800-700-1392. It's pharmaceutical grade, it's ultra pure, and our formula offers up to 3 times the power of ordinary fish oil, so you know you're making a great choice. Isn't it time you tried something that was great for your body and your wallet? Try it before you buy it, and I'll send you my new book, The Best Kept Secrets to Healthy Aging. The number for your free trial and free book is 1-800-700-1392, but you have to call now. 1-800-700-1392. 1-800-700-1392.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Lawmakers are working in high gear to make sure a wildly popular federal program gets the money it needs to keep from grinding to a halt. We're live with CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The $1 billion Cash for Clunkers program, which just got rolling this past week, is already running out of money, doing exactly what it was designed to do, getting Americans to buy new cars with better gas mileage. After a series of urgent meetings this morning, Congress is moving towards taking fast action to add another $2 billion to keep the program going. Sources say the money would come from a Department of Energy fund that makes loans to automakers to invest in new technology. Instead, it would be used to help them sell more cars. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
Quarter GDP numbers are out.
Things are definitely moving in the right direction.
CBS MoneyWatch.com's Eric Schoenberg reacting to the Commerce Department report that the economy slowed again, but at a less than expected pace of 1%.
Sales are up in real estate. Consumer confidence is basically coming back. Companies are starting to invest again. The green shoots are starting to peak up a little bit higher than they were ever before.
But one darker sign in today's report, consumers cut their spending from April through June. Although the states are getting a lot of stimulus money, the Associated Press says its analysis has found that only about 50% of the bridges being repaired are actually the ones most in need. But John Zaccone of the Vermont Agency of Transportation says it's not that easy, that meeting the requirement for shovel-ready projects has been difficult.
The stimulus bill did make us spend the money in a short amount of time, 2 to 3 years, and it is difficult to create a bridge project out of whole cloth in just that amount of time.
After its mission to the International Space Station, Shuttle Endeavour is back home, live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Well, Nick, touchdown came right on time just 14 minutes ago from Mission Control astronaut Alan Poindexter.
Welcome home. Congratulations on a superb mission from beginning to end. Very well done.
Mission Commander Mark Polansky.
Well, thanks to you and to the whole team. That's what it's all about, and we're happy to be home.
Endeavour spent nearly 16 days in space, its crew performing 5 space station construction spacewalks. They also dropped off a new station astronaut and brought one home. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
In South Florida, authorities are investigating who's behind the slaughter of at least 17 horses. Detective Edna Hernandez of the Miami-Dade Police Department says the remains have been found along roadsides, in stalls, and in pastures.
There have been some that have been freshly killed, and pieces of their bodies are missing. We have others that have already been in the advanced stages of decomposition.
One theory behind the crimes is that the horse meat is being sold on the black market. And checking stocks at this hour, right now the Dow is up 33 points, the Nasdaq's ahead about 7, and the S&P 500 up around 2 points. This is CBS News.
You're invited to the Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. Do you owe back taxes, being audited, have several years of unfiled returns? The former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problem today. Call 866-694-4019. That's 866-694-4019. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
Where do you find the best person to change your oil? Try the rearview mirror. That's right, you. And the pros at Advance Auto Parts can show you how easy it is and help you save money with offers like 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $14.99. See store for details. One oil change is all it takes to discover nobody is more qualified to get the job done right than you. Then do what's right for the environment and bring back your old oil. They'll recycle it. Advance Auto Parts. We'll help you keep the wheels turning.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Aurora's been growing for years and apparently outgrowing the range of its emergency warning sirens. The city's adding 11 sirens to the current 41. Among the areas to get new sirens, the Southlands Mall area, which was hit by a tornado last month. The Denver Post reports the new sirens will be installed mainly in the ever-growing southern and eastern parts of Aurora. Frontier Airlines could become part of Southwest Airlines, Southwest making the Denver airline a purchase offer. Frontier's Steve Snyder.
At this point, we have 2 bids. There's the Republic bid, and now apparently we've got this motion for Southwest.
Frontier's operating under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. It employs some 5,000 people. Not in our backyard, Governor Ritter telling the feds he doesn't want them to ship thousands of tons of mercury to a waste storage site near Grand Junction. The governor says the risk of ground and surface water contamination is too high. The Colorado site is one of 7 being considered by the federal government. Sports, the Rockies split a doubleheader yesterday with the Mets, and they're in Cincinnati tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now, Aaron O'Neill with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
You know what a tough ride we've had on our highways this morning, especially if you're along northbound I-25. We had a number of problems along that stretch of highway, and the very latest coming in northbound I-25 near Colorado is blocking up the center lanes. Looks like it's finally out of the way, but we're still dealing with stop-and-go speed starting back at 225. Carries all the way up and over that Broadway Bridge into downtown. Southbound I-25 still kind of struggling from 38 through Spear. Cleared up on that accident westbound 270 at York, but traffic's bunched up yet from Quebec to Vasquez. I'm Aaron O'Neill, AM 760 Progressive Talk. The regional air
from Consumer Reports, cooling your home. I'm Reese Brands. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have ductwork for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no ductwork. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rood, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org. Reports, an e-book showdown. I'm Ernie Sprantz. If you're shopping for an e-book reader, as in portable electronic text display, two brands dominate, Sony and Amazon. For the July issue, Consumer Reports compared the Amazon Kindle 2 and Sony Reader PRS-700BC. To start, the Sony requires you to install software on your PC, it's not Mac compatible, and connect via USB to download new content. The Kindle is wireless, connecting automatically and at no extra cost to your Amazon.com account. It took an hour or so to set up the Sony, about 5 minutes for the Kindle. Both have a 6-inch black and white screen. Reading in a range of light conditions is generally fine, though on the Kindle, type and images are rendered more crisply and accurately. As far as navigation, the Sony has a slight edge. Its touchscreen made navigating content easier than with the Kindle's 5-way joystick. The only toss-up is the availability of titles. The Kindle store has 270 titles and counting, far more than Sony's e-book store. And bestsellers cost $9.99, a few bucks less than Sony's usual price. But Sony allows access to 500,000 free public domain titles. The bottom line? The Kindle is easier to use and more versatile. The Sony, worth considering for its touchscreen and nightlight. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one, the only,
entertaining. Once upon a time, there was this kid who had a body hair problem, discovered he was a werewolf, and that he had some pretty cool basketball skills. Yep, it's 1985, and Teen Wolf is the movie sensation of the year. Wish you could go back and do it all over again? You can't. Warner Brothers Pictures reportedly have begun the development of a Teen Wolf remake.
It did this wasn't out of malicious intent. It was more like, you know what, you're a great person, and
right, as opposed to like, as the show isn't called like What Not to Be,
right,
or like Who You Shouldn't Be, and it's like, Bailey, you're a jerk. Then you gotta go. This is just like, all right, look, you got some style issues. It sounds like it was a good experience. Again, it's on TLC tonight, which is channel 32 on the Comcast system. Check satellite listing at 7 p.m. Bailey, a local celebrity, you hear her on channel 93.3 midday.
That was part of the problem. I'm in radio, so people don't know what
right, exactly.
Like. I don't have to, like, dress up for work. I could roll out of bed, and, you know, now I can't. But, you know, before all this.
So you get to actually see what the voice looks like, and you get to see her get humiliated, and hopefully, and it sounds like, come out on the other side at least a better dresser.
It's sort of like a fashion boot camp. You know, if you go into the military, they kind of, like, bring you down, and then they build you back up better and stronger?
Actually, I have one other question for you. Uh-huh. The advice that they gave you, I always wonder this. It's easy to bring somebody in and be like, all right, you got to dress better, and here's if you spend like $1 zillion,
mm-hmm.
here's how you'll look better. But like, it's harder to be like, hey, you have to spend a little more, but you don't have to spend $1 zillion. In other words, did you learn lessons that are like at all economical?
Absolutely. In fact, they give you $5,000 to buy a new wardrobe. In exchange for that, you have to give up all of your old clothes.
Whoa.
So you have $5,000 to put together a new wardrobe.
Which sounds like a lot, but if you strip down to zero.
And you're in New York City, which is a lot more expensive than it is here. But I will let you know that I have a brand new wardrobe, and I have not spent the full $5,000.
So that's really economical.
They teach you.
And you look very well dressed here in the studio.
I appreciate that.
Good luck with it tonight. You're going to be, Turk's saying we got a somebody's calling in, and we'll get back to all the other calls who are holding about the homeless debate. But we got a caller who wants to talk to Bailey about this. Darcy in Longmont. Darcy, go ahead.
Oh my God, that's awesome that you got me on.
Sure.
Hey Bailey, I love 93.3,
and
I love you.
Thank you, thank you.
That's so awesome that you got to be on the show. I just thought it was funny. I love, I really enjoy watching Love Not to Wear, or What Not to Wear.
Mm-hmm.
When I have cable, which I do right now. But I think it's funny because during my first undergrad, I wrote a paper in sociology class about what not to wear and how they, like, exploit the public to, like...
Yeah. I can see that. But at the same time, after going through the experience and realizing what I was doing beforehand and then coming out on the other side and what I'm doing now, I think that it may be their way to exploit people, but at the same time, they do it with a good intention. It's not...
Oh, completely. Yeah, I totally agree.
And I wish that there was, like, a cameras following me before the show even started following me, just for a scientific experiment in human behavior, because I have to say the way people treat me now, as opposed to what they were treating me like before,
mm-hmm.
people I know and people I don't know...
Is that right?
...is drastically different. I have strangers coming up and just striking up conversations, whereas before, like, people wouldn't really make eye contact. They kind of look and look away.
I wonder... Darcy, thanks for the call.
No problem.
I have one more question. You know, I wonder how much of this is... are universal lessons, and how much of it is like what not to wear in New York City. Meaning, mm-hmm. I used to live in Montana.
Right.
I would never want to show up anywhere in Montana being New York well-dressed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain, but there's a Montana, you're not just like a schlub, you
right.
can dress nice, it's just a different, look, how much of the lessons were like universal, and how much of them were regional?
I would say the majority of them were universal. There are a few little things that are definitely New York City-based, or not even necessarily, I mean, it could be Chicago,
or like
LA,
city,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
But I would say the majority of the stuff is universal. And they basically just give you the guidelines of where to start and build the foundation. And then there's the freedom to, you know, put in your own personality and stuff like that. But I can see, because that was what I was worried about. Like, I don't live in New York City.
Right.
So, you know, why am I going to be shopping at these stores?
Right, you're going to show up like Night at the Roxbury and, like, we live in Denver,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But I have to say, the majority of the stores that we went to are stores that you have here. And so that they would just kind of blend in with what's going on here as well. And
very cool.
Yeah, I think they take that into account. And they realize what you do for a living and that type of thing, too, also factors into it. So it's not kind of like they give you a basic list of rules and that applies to everyone. But there are certain things that you can kind of take away from that. And
that are universal. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's on TLC tonight on Channel 32 on Comcast. Check your local listings on satellite. 7 p.m. tonight, Bailey from Channel 93.3 FM, Midday Music. Good luck, and I know you're going to be all over the place. People are going to be calling you, and it's going to be like being trotted out there. I was on the Colbert Show once,
uh-huh.
actually twice, and every time I went on, it was like
you
suddenly know like how many people watch that show,
right.
And like it's
mind blowing, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Just the impact I've had from just the promo running of the show. People
yeah.
that I haven't talked to in 10, 15
oh, yeah.
years are coming out of the woodwork. It's really pretty amazing.
And this is like you're being brought on,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like the Colbert Show in the sense that he's trying to, like, kind of embarrass you. And,
yeah.
and this is the same kind of situation. Like, you're going to get sort of raked over the coals. Good luck
right.
with it, and we'll be watching.
Thank you. Thank you. And for people who don't have cable, like Darcy, you just called, we're doing a viewing party tonight. Andrew's on Lincoln at 11th and Lincoln downtown. People are more than welcome. You can come down.
Very cool.
6 to 8 tonight. We'll watch
Andrew's on Lincoln. Okay, so tonight at 7?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
To watch the show. All right. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Okay.
It's 9:15 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. All right, we'll get back to the debate. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, his way of dealing with the recession and homelessness is to give people one-way tickets out of the city. We've got a lot of budget cuts coming up here in Colorado and in Denver, and you can bet that this kind of program, I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but that's going to be thrown around. Is this a solution to homelessness, to give people one-way tickets out of the city? Or do you think, I think it's immoral, but what do you think? 303-713-7600. Bloomberg's saying that it can save the city millions and millions of dollars. Is this too immoral, even if it saves money? Catherine in Denver. Catherine, you're on AM 760.
Hey, thanks. They're already doing it here in Denver and in New Mexico and Santa Fe. I don't know whether it's city-funded here, but it was I witnessed it last year
when they offered a homeless woman one-way ticket to a family's residence. It has to be a family, though. I don't just dump you off in any town. I think in some ways it's benevolent, and some ways it's not. It is dumping problems onto another city or community. But it, and I don't know how much money it actually saves, because you have to consider that people in other areas or communities in other areas of the country are sending their homeless back to New York or back to here or whatever. So it's,
well, if you're right. If only one city does it, then the one city saves. But if everybody starts doing it, then you're right. Then probably nobody. Yeah, it's a wash. You know, I think for cities, where I get really, really uncomfortable with it is that, like, especially with New York, which is the best example of this, New York has really, it's become, the wealth situation has become so stratified in New York. I mean, you know, Manhattan is really becoming this gated community, and then the Bronx is really becoming even more impoverished. Same thing with Queens. And for cities in general, cities have become more and more stratified. And there's this problem of, you know, what are you sacrificing in your city by gentrifying, by becoming so stratified? And if your solution to a bad economy and to basic municipal problems is to simply ship them out of your city, you're going to change the complexion of your city. We're going to start making cities into gated communities. Homelessness is a real problem, and homelessness is a convergence of economic problems. It's a convergence of and a convergence of health problems. A lot of homeless people have mental illnesses, and so, you know, it's not an easy problem to deal with. But certainly dealing with it by saying it's somebody else's problem, that's not dealing with the problem. And I know, look, I know that there's going to be people out there who say, look, I don't like the problem of homelessness. I don't like a lot of these municipal problems that come with homelessness. So if you can get them out of my face, out of sight, out of mind. But I think as a community, I just think it's really immoral. And again, I would have less problem with this if it was a federal program. Maybe that sounds semantic. But with a federal program, the federal government represents all of us. So if the federal program is like, we'll relocate you within our borders, it's not shifting. The federal government wouldn't be shifting the problem because it's still within the federal government. If a city says we're going to take our money to move you outside of our jurisdiction, that is really the dictionary definition of just shifting the problem. Catherine, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Blaine in Denver. Blaine, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Hey, yeah, I think it's kind of a no-win situation there, because obviously it's shifting to someone else's back door. But Honolulu had that problem a few years ago, like in the late 90s, where one of the West Coast cities were sending their homeless population to Honolulu. I mean, good place to be sent if you're homeless, but it's just, you know, it became a problem for Honolulu. And I don't remember off the top of my head what city it was. But, you know, it's suddenly, like, by the airport, there was a big, huge homeless population, and it didn't work out very well for the city of Honolulu.
But what about the argument from Bloomberg? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Look, we're facing budget cuts. I'm trying to preserve other city services, and this is a way a lot of homeless people may want to go to a warmer climate, they can't afford to go live with other family in a different place. This is a way for us to kill two birds with one stone. We can save some money, and we can, you know, give people something that maybe some of them want. What about that argument?
Well, I would agree with it to a point, to where, say, if they volunteered for the program, or if we were, or like Catherine had said earlier, let's send them back to their family or something like that. But, you know, the whole mental health aspect is a huge problem, obviously, financially for the cities and, you know, and for people in general. You know, when you come across some homeless guy, you know, jibber jabbering to himself and smelling just horrible because, you know, he doesn't care. He's in his own little world. But, you know, it's, you know, just think about this though. 25 years ago, there wasn't this problem, especially in Denver. We didn't have a homeless problem in Denver. I mean, there was a couple people floating around, but, you know,
you think we do now because of the economy?
Oh, well, because of the economy and, you know, other factors, and you know, we're cutting back, and I think like the mental health aspect is a huge problem. You know, there's probably people that would have been institutionalized, you know, 25, 30 years ago, but, you know, we've
cut those services, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a convergence of everything. You've got a bad economy, so you don't have as many jobs. The jobs that you do have are less well paying. You've got you've had a housing crisis where housing costs have been really, really expensive. You've got government cutting back on basic social services like mental health care services for people who have mental illness. It's a convergence of problems, and simply moving the problem outside of your boundaries, you know, it's the biggest, what, you know, NIMBY solution, right? Not in my backyard. All right, out of sight, out of mind, but that's not a solution. Hey, thanks for the call.
No problem. You guys have a good one.
Bye. All right, you too. 922 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about Mayor Bloomberg, Mike Bloomberg of New York, pushing out a controversial plan to deal with poverty and homelessness in New York City, one of the biggest cities in the country, where he basically says he's not going to fund the homeless shelters at the level they've been funded. They're going to take some of that money and pay for one-way tickets for the homeless to leave New York. We're facing major budget cuts here in the state and in cities in Colorado. Is this something we should look into? I don't think so, but maybe you do. 303-713-7600. And it is Movie Friday. AMC TV's blog has up its favorite computers from movies. HAL from 2001, The Matrix from The Matrix. What's your favorite computer from a movie? Mine is the Whopper from War Games. So when you call up about the homeless issue, feel free to give us your favorite computer from a movie, because it's Movie Friday. And also, one other thing, if you tell us if you don't have iPhone service west of I-25. A couple people have said that they have a feeling that AT&T's, some of its towers are down over there, but that the company isn't responding to the problems. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just curious if people are having trouble with their iPhone west of I-25. So if you are, when you call up about the homeless issue, please tell us, let us know. We're taking an informal survey. You can also, by the way, instant message us at www.am760.net. We get all your instant messages right here, right in front of me on my computer, www.am760.net. 924, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we got slower traffic on westbound 270 from Quebec to York. That's due to an earlier accident. Also going to be slow northbound I-25 from around Broadway up to Alameda. That was due to an earlier stall there in the center lane. But no accidents currently around the metro. Things getting back to shape. It has been a nasty morning of traffic and accidents on 270 and I-25. Been riddled with them all morning. So nice to see things starting to loosen up. Do expect some more traffic around Red Rocks this weekend. Fish, four sold-out nights there, and night two tonight. So do expect a lot of more traffic there around C-470 and Morrison. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, but warmer with highs in the low 80s. Chance for afternoon thunderstorms in the metro, but severe weather could be possible out on the eastern plains where high winds, hail, and heavy rain is likely. Your current downtown temperature, 69 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Colorado State Bank and Trust makes it easier for you to save for the future with QuickSave. Each time you use your CSBT check card or CSBT online bill pay, you will...
Hey, if Congress forces this radio station to pay a performance tax to foreign record labels, you know what you get? Yep, nada. Say bye-bye to things you love to listen to. Weather, new music, community service. See ya! Congress knows this station already pays to play music. If radio is forced to pay more, you'll pay the price. Go to SaveYourRadio.org to tell your congressman to support the Local Radio Freedom Act. A message from this station and the NAB.
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential, California Psychics has done over 1 million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
9:26 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Michael Bloomberg, New York City's mayor, billionaire mayor, making headlines with a plan to save money that the city is spending on homeless shelters and put some of it into buying one-way tickets for the homeless to kick them out of the city. You think this is fair? Think this is a good idea? Because we're facing major budget cuts here in Colorado, a $400 million deficit in the state budget, a $130 million deficit, and expected cuts in the city budget here in Denver. There are going to be really draconian cuts, and everything is going to be on the table, especially when one of the most famous mayors in the country is justifying kicking his homeless people out of the city. Do you think this is right or wrong? 303-713-7600. Tony in Boulder. Tony, you're on AM 760.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to say, on a certain level, I do agree with removing some of the homeless from the cities, but based on a type of criteria, like how long has this person been homeless? How many services have they been offered? If it's somebody that's been homeless for like 10, 15 years, then there's obviously probably not much the system can do for them.
Well, in New York, the Bloomberg administration admits that the average family spends the average family who uses a shelter spends 9 months in the shelter. So we know that. But again, aren't you concerned with the idea of like, you know, isn't that just shifting people? Isn't that just moving the problem somewhere else? I mean, you can say, well, they've been, if they've used this many services or they've been homeless for that long, then fine, then kick them out. But that person is still a person and they're going to still be kicked out to somewhere else. I mean, unless you're suggesting we should just sort of eliminate them, which I'm sure you're not suggesting.
No, not eliminate them, but like the idea of sending them to, you know, like the one lady before mentioned, sending them to another family member, you know, because this is my third time living in Denver. I moved here again back in 2000, and since I've been here, I know for a fact I can get off at I-25 in Colorado or I-70 in Colorado. And there's been the same guy standing there holding a anything will help sign for at least the last 6 years. So, I mean, there is a certain amount of population among the homeless that have been homeless for a very, very long
time.
Yeah,
there is definitely structural homelessness. There's permanent systemic homelessness, and there are the systemically homeless, people who have been homeless for years.
It's throwing good money after bad, obviously trying to support people like that. I mean, after that long of being homeless, and I would imagine that there is a significant portion of the homeless community that has been homeless for a large amount of time, why continue to spend the money?
Well, but again, somebody else is going to have to spend that money. If you move somebody from somebody's homeless in Boulder and you move them, you give them a bus ticket or, you know, taxi fare down to Denver, they're still going to be homeless in Denver.
Right, but if you set the criteria of that, okay, you know, we're going to send you to where you have family, you know,
I can see a little bit of that. I mean, I can see a little bit of that where it's like somebody could apply. Here's my problem, is that two things. One, what if somebody doesn't have family, and a lot of folks just don't have family. And two, it's the question of in lieu of. Right? Instead of funding the shelters, we're going to fund this. That's my problem with it. It's like, instead of funding shelters, and more importantly, instead of building the economy, creating jobs, doing all the things necessary to really bring down homelessness. Instead of doing that, we're just going to shift the expenditure to throwing people out, right? When Michael Bloomberg, a billionaire, stands up at a press conference and says this is the way for the city to save money, is to cut back on homeless shelters and fund kicking people out of the city, right? That's robbing Peter to pay Paul in a way, in a super immoral kind of way. It's not, all right, we're going to preserve our shelters, and on top of that, we're going to let people apply based on certain criteria for relocation. That's different than saying we need to save money on shelters, and so we're going to take some of that money and putting it into kicking people out. That's really where this gets into a policy, I think, of banishment. Thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
9:32 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Going up into the 80s today. Finally, we've got the sun out. We're talking about Mayor Michael Bloomberg's controversial plan to give homeless people one-way tickets out of his city instead of funding, or better funding, his city's homeless shelters. We're facing major budget cuts here in Colorado and in Denver. Is this the kind of thing we're going to see? And if so, are you supportive of it? Rick in Aurora. Rick, you're on AM 760.
Good morning. Actually, Portland, Oregon, for quite a long time, I know a decade ago they were still doing this. They would ship them to Seattle. They had a really nice Amtrak train that would run between Portland and Seattle. I think it was about $25. And they would put their homeless on the train and ship them north. And to be honest with you, what came to mind was First Blood, you know, where they bring Stallone to the edge of town and send him out. You
right.
Know, keep going, buddy. And that sort of thing still happens in small towns. I've known backpackers, and certain towns still do that. They just, how long are you going to be here? No, you're not. You're leaving now.
Yeah, I would believe that this is not the first time this has been done.
But, no, it's been done, I think, since the beginning.
I just think that the danger is that this is really the most famous mayor in the United States during a recession saying, legitimizing the practice on the public stage, and other cities tend to look to New York because it's such a microcosm of so many municipal issues, challenges. Other cities look to New York to see what it's doing, and you've got this guy standing up there saying, you know, I don't care if they get a job when they leave. I don't know if they get adequate services or treatment or shelter when we kick them out. If it doesn't even matter.
Well, I want to take this even further because I've got two boys with me and their sisters with somebody else safe, and this is their games out of Oregon, and these kids were moved out of a house with human waste and animal waste and dead animals in the house, literally. The county social services wanted to open the case for less than a month. They basically just said, come get them. We don't want to do anything else. Just come get them. Get them out of the state. They just wanted to ship the issue out. Colorado social services was just appalled the way they were acting. I mean, this extends beyond the homeless. This extends into other social services where they just want to ship the problem out of state. And I'm not kidding. This is happening right now. And luckily the kids are safe, but they just didn't want to deal with the issue. Just get them out of here.
Well, I I'm not shocked to hear it. It's always easier for an individual city to say out of sight, out of mind. The problem is that if it's out of your sight and out of your mind, it's going to be somebody else's problem, and it's not solving the overall problem. And what's really sad about this particular case is that it's not like New York City is lacking for resources in the sense of New York City, if I had to guess, has the highest concentration of wealthy people in the United States. That's a guess. It would have to be. I mean, the Goldman Sachs execs, the Wall Street people, the celebrities. I mean, this is not a city. The city's budget may lack for money, may have a deficit because it's not properly taxing people. But the city in general is one of the wealthiest places on the face of the earth. The idea that it has to do this just doesn't hold water. It's just not factually true. And so if this city's doing it, I can't believe that cities that aren't genuinely strapped, places like Detroit, places in the industrial Midwest, that they're not going to look into doing this as well. And it's just, I think, institutionalized banishment. Thanks for the call. 9:36 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, traffic is getting better for us in a few different spots due to some earlier crashes, but still going to be a jam for you. Westbound 270, Quebec to York. Also on northbound I-25, Broadway to Alameda. Still got this rollover crash down near... It's basically near Larkspur at the Greenland exit, northbound I-25. It's off the shoulder, but people are slowing down and taking a look there. A couple of surface street crashes back around the metro, one at Alameda and Sheridan, another at 29th and Quebec. That one involving a tractor trailer, both those in the cleanup phase. Your forecast, partly sunny, decent chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, right now 70 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
DU's College of Professional and Continuing Studies encourages working adults to examine customizable master's degrees for working adults online or evenings. Classes start September 14th. UniversityCollege.DU.edu. That's UniversityCollege.DU.edu.
Mario Solis Marriage.
DGIV. Today,
right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more and get free delivery. No rebates, no hassles, no strings attached. We even have free haulaway, which combined can save you up to $79 on top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Save not once, but twice with 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through August 5th in U.S. only, see store for details.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a ninth season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January.
When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community. We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era.
With that home repair, right here on AM 760 KKZN.
I-39 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I think we got somebody on the line giving us an update on the AT&T question. Just asking if folks are having problems with their iPhone and AT&T service west of I-25. I've been hearing from people that AT&T, the rumor out there is that AT&T is not fixing a couple towers. I'm just curious if that's true. Be a little consumer watchdog here. I'm not sure if it's true. Not saying it is. Just want to check. Rebecca in Lakewood. Rebecca, you got an update for us on the iPhone issue?
Yeah, I'm calling with my iPhone, so if we get cut off, you'll know why.
Okay.
I live in Lakewood, and so definitely west of I-25, and I've had the phone for a couple of months. And it's been trouble almost from the get-go, but it's really gotten worse. And I've had AT&T for years.
Okay. So you think there's something going on?
Absolutely. I have no doubt. I drop calls all the time, never used to do that. I have to walk outside my house in order to make a phone call on my cell phone.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, I got to tell you, something. For all you folks who have iPhones and folks who want an iPhone, but are in a on another service, I'm one of those people who would be interested in an iPhone but don't want to change my service because I like the service that I have,
right.
And it's more reliable than AT&T. There is a rumor out there from the Obama administration's antitrust chief that they may look into whether Apple providing the iPhone exclusively to AT&T is an antitrust violation based on the iPhone's market share of the cell phone market. I mean, I'm not an antitrust lawyer, but the basics of it are if you control a certain percentage of a market, you're supposed to be limited in the kind of exclusivity, the deals of exclusivity you can do with partner corporations, because you can it can unduly impact competition. And so there has been talk that the Obama administration may be looking into trying to bust up that Apple AT&T exclusivity, which I think would be fantastic for consumers, because now you're faced with this ridiculous choice where if you want an iPhone, you gotta have one service, and I'm not making a judgment on AT&T, but you gotta have one service that maybe you don't want, and I just think it just sucks. Rebecca, thanks for the call.
Absolutely, thanks. Bye.
Okay. All right, back to our discussion about this this homeless issue, controversial plan coming out of New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg dealing with the budget shortfalls there, says that the way to deal with it is to cut back on homeless shelter funding, save money, and just spend a little bit of money giving homeless people a one-way ticket out of New York City. Is this the right way to deal with the issues of poverty and homelessness? We've got major budget cuts coming up here in Denver, major budget cuts coming up here in Colorado, a $400 million state budget deficit. The most famous mayor in America is pushing forward this controversial idea. Who knows? It may be coming to Colorado. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Immoral, or do you think it's just smart budgeting? Brendan in Lakewood. Brendan, you're on AM 760.
Hello. Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. I represent homeless people in municipal court in Denver. Once a month, Denver holds what's called homeless court. And what it allows homeless folks to do is come in and get warrants cleared up and also get connected with services through the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. When you're homeless, you pick up charges, trespass, violating park curfew, all kinds of things, right?
Right.
You don't have anywhere to go. And so people don't seek services because they've probably got outstanding warrants, and so they don't seek services, and they just, and then they don't get services. They're still on the street. So what this does is help get them connected with things and try to get people IDs so they can get jobs, try to get them, the Coalition for the Homeless does a lot of that. I'd suggest you contact them and have some of those people on your show. And what I think Mayor Bloomberg wants to do is just ship that responsibility to other communities, and there are probably, I would bet, a lot of communities that don't have the services that Denver does, and even Denver's Road Home program got cut pretty significantly recently. So you know where those people are going to end up. They're going to end up in county jail. Wherever they go, they're going to end up in jail. And that will be an additional burden on those cities because it costs more to keep somebody in jail than to actually treat them.
What about the argument that some will say, well, some people who are homeless wouldn't be homeless if they could afford to travel a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand miles to be taken in by their family that lives farther away. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What about that argument?
Assuming that they have family to go
Right. It's a lot of assumptions, for sure.
Yeah. Assuming that that family is not on the verge of homelessness, assuming that the person didn't leave, isn't homeless in one city because they fled similar conditions in another city, like say if you got somebody who's homeless in New York City but grew up, born and bred in New York City, but times have been bad, they're homeless. Ship them out to Denver. Are they going to find, it assumes that the population has somewhere else to go to.
That's right. And
so I think it's execrable. I think he's just, he's a rich guy trying to, you know, sweep away the unsightly things instead of actually trying to tackle the program.
And I want to be clear. Maybe this is a weird point to make, but if this was a federal program, right, if this was a federal relocation program that people could apply for, already then it wouldn't be the federal government trying to offload its own problem, because the federal government is the government of the whole country. The thing that really makes this ugly is that it's one city using its taxpayer money to take people and put them outside of the city, right? They're quite literally offloading the problem. If it was a federal program, at least you could argue that it's not, the federal government itself isn't trying to offload the problem, because the federal government represents the entire nation. Somebody who's homeless is still a challenge for their own federal government. It's the one city saying out of sight, out of mind, and you're absolutely right. It becomes another city's challenge as well. And, you know, if this becomes a matter of policy in a bunch of other cities, then it's not crazy to think back to the Great Depression and the situation where you had homeless people living on trains, on cargo trains, traveling just across the country in destitution. Thanks for the call, Brendan.
Okay.
947 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to Steve in Denver. Steve, you're on AM 760.
Oh, you keep calling Bloomberg famous. I don't like that. I think notorious would be a better description.
Yeah, that's probably a better word.
And, you know, I think he's a scumbag. You know, he's a billionaire. You know, in order to become a billionaire in this country, he's got teeth that you can't believe. You know, he's a shark behind his mild facade, and he's probably very mean-spirited. And, you know, when he's trying to ship out this problem rather than trying to address it within the city, you know, we've seen trying to ship out the Mexicans back to Mexico, and they come back here. You know, it doesn't work. You know, it's just a temporary fix. And these homeless people must be very painful to Bloomberg to look at.
I think you're right. I mean, this is what you get when you elect in a city the richest person in your city. I'm not saying that means that everybody who's a billionaire, everyone who's wealthy, is an evil person. What I'm saying, though, is that you're more likely to get a policy that says homeless people are a problem to be removed,
right,
if your mayor is somebody who spends all of his time with super wealthy people. That's just
right.
Because homeless people to a lot of super wealthy people are just a nuisance. They're not a societal challenge, and they're certainly not looked at as part of any kind of community. And you're right, to become the richest person in New York City, that's what Michael Bloomberg is, one of the richest people on earth,
mm-hmm,
and he's the richest person in that city. I think it's fair to assume that you basically have to be kind of a Gordon Gekko-like character.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, you said not all rich people are evil or bad.
Not most rich people are evil or bad. But
I do think that they lose touch and that they're not too I think that they almost become the privileged mentality to them. It's entitlement always to them.
I like to say that it's, you get people who are in the top 1% in positions of political power tend to wear their class on their sleeve. And frankly, all of us sort of do that, right? We are a product of our, not just our community, like our city or our state. We're a product of who we hang out with, right? Our views are shaped through social osmosis. And so somebody like Michael Bloomberg, who is the closest thing you can get to a top-hatted plutocrat in this country, the people who he hangs out with, his little community, are people who do not see homeless people, tend to be people who do not see homeless people as anything more than just a nuisance. And so in a lot of ways, this is just a logical policy from somebody like Mike Bloomberg. Now, the question is, because Bloomberg has such a platform, whether this is something other cities are going to look to. And that's what I get nervous about. You know, Bill Ritter saying we got $400 million in state budget cuts coming up. John Hickenlooper saying we got $180 million worth of cuts coming up here in Denver. You know, it's not a stretch to think that they're going to look at a city like New York and say, what can we learn from them? Hey, Steve, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
950 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on finally a sunny day. We got sun in the forecast all day and all weekend. I'm going to be taking out my bike. I got a massage scheduled for the end of the day. So psyched about that. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
I'm sorry, I just got thrown off by the massage thing.
No problem.
I was
going to
say something, but I won't, Dave. I'll just keep moving along to traffic. Traffic, really good for us now, back in the 50s and 60s, on all the major highways around town. Just about a 15-minute drive between 70 and the Tech Center if you're using 225 and Aurora. Also in the 60s down on C-470. Do have a couple different construction things going on. Intermittent traffic stops up to 10 minutes at a time along Highway 119. Just south of Blackhawk, as helicopter moves a drill rig for geotechnical work. So if you're going to go gambling, expect some delays up there. Also on I-70 around Vail, single lane closures westbound between mile marker 197 and 201 for paving, and eastbounders at mile marker 191 for bridge work at Shrine Pass. So we do have some stuff going on there construction-wise around the city. Your forecast, partly cloudy, breezy, but warmer. Look for a high around 82. Chance for afternoon thunderstorms in the metro, but severe weather could be possible on the eastern plains. Right now, we're at 71 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Save with all new super price reductions at King Soopers. You'll find them on products like half gallons of Kroger orange juice, loaves of Blue Label bread, King Soopers large eggs, and lots more. Hurry in for more super price reductions store-wide and get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Hi, my name is David Hickey, owner of 3M Construction. Have recent storms damaged your roof, siding, or windows? Time to file your claim could be running out. Don't get scammed by out-of-town predators knocking on your door and sponging off our local economy. Call a local company that you've heard of. 3M Construction has the experience to give you a quality job and the knowledge to work with your insurance company to get your home repaired fast. Call us today, 303-774-8005. That's 303-774-8005. 3M Construction. A proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one and only
entertaining Showbuzz. 30 Rock is leading the way at this year's Emmys. The Tina Fey comedy, which is set behind the scenes of a fictional TV show, has been nominated for a whopping 22 awards, beating off competition from shows including The Office, Family Guy, Mad Men, and Flight of the Conchords. The ceremony will take place in L.A. on September 20th.
Showbuzz.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one, the only
entertaining
Showbuzz.
Harry Potter has been defeated. Disney's new G-Force movie has snatched the number one spot from Potter thanks to opening weekend box office sales of around $32.2 million. The movie mixes live action with animation and features the voice of stars including Nicolas Cage and Penelope Cruz. The Half-Blood Prince came in second with earnings of around $30 million.
Showbuzz.
Four on AM 760 Progressive Talk. A couple more minutes before I get to start my weekend. Although, actually, I don't really get to start my weekend. I gotta go home and continue writing the book. Book about 80s movies, television, toys. It's pretty fun, but it's also a lot of work to go back, dig through all that low culture. We're talking about Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, his plan to, he's giving one-way tickets to homeless people in New York City instead of funding, or better funding, the city's homeless shelters. We're facing major budget deficits and cuts here in Colorado. Are we going to see programs like that to simply kick the homeless out? And if so, do you think that's the right way to go? You think that's moral? You think that's immoral? I think it's pretty immoral. And it is Movie Friday, so give us your favorite computer in a movie. HAL from 2001. AMC TV on its blog has a list of computers from movies. My favorite is the Whopper from War Games. Shall we play a game? Let's go to David in Denver. David, you're on AM 760.
Oh, hi there, Dave. A couple of things. First, I got a great computer movie, but first I was going to comment about the homeless situation. You know, I think America ought to start pursuing not just universal health, but universal education, because education costs a lot, man. I mean, I've tried to get in about three different schools, and it was always financial problems, you know. And that would get everybody jobs quicker, and then people could work, and they'd have money, you know, and, you know, might cut down on the homeless problem. The computer movie, you know the guy that was in the Transformers movie, that young kid? I don't know his name.
It's Shia LaBeouf, right?
Yeah, dude, he's in a computer movie about this Department of Defense computer that goes haywire and starts taking out what it considers military threats. I don't know the name of it, though, but it's recent.
I don't know the name of it either. I will look it up. So it's a Shia LaBeouf movie. I'll look it up, man.
It's very good.
I will check it out. Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
Christy in Denver. You're on AM 760.
Hey, this is Christy from Denver.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Happy Friday.
You too.
And this homeless problem probably needs to be looked at in a couple of ways. Some people want to be homeless, as the one caller said. You know, he's seen the guy for 6 years. So those kind of people, you're not going to help, okay? They like what they're doing. They don't mind living on the street. You're not going to change them. Now, when you have women and children, those people you have to help. Let's be, you know, realistic here. What they need to do is probably take some of these foreclosed homes and let these people live in them.
Well, that's an issue. That's a topic that hasn't been on the table at all. And you're right. That's trying to see a silver lining in a bad situation. And I think but again, that would require money. That requires resources for the cities to buy or repossess those houses. And everybody's looking to do budget cuts. And unfortunately, one of the populations that's going to face the brunt of those budget cuts is the population with the least political voice. Homeless people, but I think you're right. You got that's not a bad idea that you got. All right, last call of the day, Corey. Corey, you're on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Hey, David, I've been a psych nurse for almost 35 years, and I've actually been through episodes where they went through periods of time of sending the homeless all over the country, and I lived in Florida at the time, and they used to send people to Florida all the time, which really helped Florida a lot, but in Colorado, most of the homeless are either mentally ill or they have substance abuse problems. And sending them to Denver isn't going to help. Denver, Colorado has some of the worst money for mental health in the country. We're just down right near the bottom.
And that's the thing. Sending people out of sight, out of mind, shipping people out is not a policy to deal with the problem. That's the main point. Thanks for the call. All right, time to start the weekend. Hope you have a great one. There's going to be a lot of sun out there. I'll see you, or I'll talk to you, on Monday.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We are a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
I didn't become Magic Johnson overnight. I had to set goals and go for them. If your goal is getting the best for your family, Rent-A-Center puts it in easy reach. Choose from top-name brands like Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more with no credit checks, no credit needed. And Rent-A-Center backs it all with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Because sometimes we need a little assist with our goals.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.